శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి వృందావన ధామికి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథపురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి ఇంగమాయికి హిమనమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సమవేద భక్త బృందకి ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ గౌరవ ప్రభుపాద నమః విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని నిధినామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవిం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నమిశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణే. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షుర్మిలితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోదిష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాతి సుభదాంబిజం. వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సగ్రదాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాం సహజనలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవే ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశధారిణే. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతీ నామినే శ్రీగౌరకరుణాశక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే. నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీమూర్తయే దీనధారిణే రూపానుగ విరుద్ధావ సిద్ధాంతత్వాంధారిణే. నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాత్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రజంబరసాంబోధే పాదాంబుజాయ నమః. నమో క్షితిమోదాయ సచ్చిదానందనామినే గౌరశక్తి స్వరూపాయ రూపముఖవరాయ నే గౌరావిర్భవ భూమిస్తు దోష్టా సజ్జన ప్రియ వైష్ణవ సర్వం శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయ నే నమః. వంశకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్యేవ చ పదినానా పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. నమో మహాబలన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామే గౌరకృష్ణే నమః. పంచతత్వాత్మజం కృష్ణం భక్తరూప స్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్త శాస్త్రియం. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోవిందాకాంత నమోస్తునే. శ్రీమంద్రత్నాగర సింహాసనస్థో శ్రీశీలాభాషీల గోవిందదేవో ప్రేష్టాదిభిః సేవ్యమానో స్మరామి శ్రీనివాసరసారుణీ వంశీవడగణస్థిత కర్షణ్వేణుస్వనిర్గోవే గోవినాథ శ్రీయస్తున. హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే
ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಓಂ ಪಾಠಾಯ ಪ್ರತಿಬೋಧಿತಂ ಭಗವದಂ ನಾರಾಯಣೇನ ಸ್ವಯಂ ವ್ಯಾಸೇನ ಗ್ರದಿರಾಂ ಪುರಾಣ ಮುನಿನಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಮಹಾಭಾರತಂ ಅದ್ವೈತಾಮೃತ ವರ್ಷಿಣಿಂ ಭಗವದೀಂ ಅಷ್ಟಾದಶಾಧ್ಯಾಯಿನಿಂ ಅಮೃತ್ವಾಮನುಸಂದದಾಮಿ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತೇ ಭವದ್ವೇಷಿಣಿಂ. ನಮೋಸ್ತು ದೇ ವ್ಯಾಸ ವಿಶಾಲ ಬುದ್ಧೈಂ ವಕ್ರನೇತ್ರ ಯೇನ ತ್ವಯಾ ಭಾರತ ತೈಲಪೂರ್ಣ ಪ್ರಜ್ವಾಲಿತೋ ಜ್ಞಾನಮಯ ಪ್ರದೀಪ ಪ್ರಪನ್ನ ಪಾರಿಜಾತಾಯ ತೋತ್ರವೇ ತ್ರೈಗವಾನಯೇ ಜ್ಞಾನಮುದ್ರಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಗೀತಾಮೃತ ದುಹೇ ನಮಃ. ಸರ್ವೋಪನಿಷದೋ ಗಾವೋ ದುಗ್ಧಾ ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದನ ಪಾರ್ಥೋ ವಲ್ಸ ಸುಧೀರ್ ಭೋಕ್ತಾ ದುಗ್ಧಂ ಗೀತಾಮೃತಂ ಮಹತ್ ವಸುದೇವ ಸುತಂ ದೇವಂ ಕಂಸಚಾಣೂರ ಮರ್ದನಂ ಪರಮಾನಂದಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ವಂದೇ ಜಗದ್ಗುರುಂ ಭೀಷ್ಮದ್ರೋಣಗಣ ಜಯದ್ರಥಜರ ಗಾಂಧಾರ ನೀರೋಲ್ಪಲ ಶಲ್ಯಪ್ರಾಹವಲಿ ಕೃಪೇಣಿ ಕರ್ಣೇನ ವೇಲಾಕುಲ ಅಶ್ವತ್ಥಾಮಿಕರ್ಣಘೋರಮಗರ ದುರ್ಯೋಧನಾವರ್ತಿ ಸೋತೀರ್ಣ ಖಲು ಪಾಂಡವೈರಣನದಿ ಕೈವರ್ತಕ ಕೇಶವ ಪಾರಾಶರ್ಯವಜ ಸರೋಜಮಲಂ ಗೀತಾರ್ಥಗಂಧೋಲ್ಕಡಂ ನಾನಾಖ್ಯಾನಗಕೇಸರಂ ಹರಿಕಥಾ ಸಂಬೋಧನಾಭೋದಿತಂ ಲೋಕೈ ಸಜ್ಜನ ಶಲ್ಪತೈರಹರಹಪೇಮೀಯಮಾನಂ ಮುದಾ ಭೂಯಾತ್ ಭಾರತ ಮಂಗಜ ಕಲ್ಮಲ ಪ್ರಧ್ವಂಸಿನ ಶ್ರೇಯಸೇ ಮೂಕಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗುಂ ಲಂಘಯತೇ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯಲ್ಪ್ರಭಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ ಯಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾವರುಣೇಂದ್ರ ರುದ್ರಮೃತಸ್ತನ್ವಂದಿ ದಿವ್ಯೈಸ್ತವೇ ವೇದೈ ಸಾಂಗವದೇ ಕ್ರಮೋಪನಿಷದೇ ಗಾಯಂತಿ ಯಂ ಸಮಗಾಃ ಧ್ಯಾನಾವಸ್ಥಿತಗದ್ಗಣೇನ ಮನಸಾ ಪಶ್ಯಂತಿ ಯಂ ಯೋಗಿನೋ ಯಸ್ಯಾಂಗಂ ನ ವಿದುಸುರಾಸುರಗಣೈ ದೇವಾಯ ತಸ್ಮೈ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀ ಭಗವಾನ್ ವಾಚ ಊರ್ಧ್ವಮೂಲಂ ಅಥ ಶಾಖ ಅಶ್ವತ್ಥಂ ಪ್ರಾಹು ಅವ್ಯಯಂ ಛಂದಾಂಸಿ ಯಸ್ಯ ಪರ್ಣಾನಿ ಯಸ್ತ್ವಂ ವೇದ ಸ ವೇದವಿತ್ ಅಥಶೋರ್ಧ್ವಂ ಪ್ರಸೃತಾಸ್ತಸ್ಯ ಶಾಖ ಗುಣಪ್ರವೃದ್ಧ ವಿಷಯ ಪ್ರವಾಳ ಅಧಶ್ಚ ಮೂಲಾನ್ ಅನುಸಂಧದಾನಿ ಕರ್ಮಾನುಬಂಧೇನಿ ಮನುಷ್ಯಲೋಕೆ ನ ರೂಪಮಸ್ಯೇಹ ತದೋಪಲಭ್ಯತೆ ನಾಂದೋ ನ ಚಾದಿರ್ ನ ಸಂಪ್ರದಿಷ್ಟ ಅಶ್ವತ್ಥಮೇನಂ ಸುವಿರೂಢಮೂಲಂ ಅಸಂಗಶಸ್ತ್ರೇಣ ದೃಢೇನ ಚಿತ್ವ ತದಪದಂ ತತ್ ಪರಿಮಾರ್ಗಿತವ್ಯಂ ಯಸ್ಮಿನ್ ಗದಾ ನ ನಿವರ್ತಂತಿ ಭೂಯಾಃ ತಮೇವ ಚಾದ್ಯಂ ಪುರುಷಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ಯತಃ ಪ್ರವೃತ್ತಿ ಪ್ರಸೃತ ಪುರಾಣಿ. ದೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ದಿ ಫೋರ್ ವರ್ಸಸ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಸೀನ್ ಸೋ ಫಾರ್ ಇಸ್ಟ್ ಇಟ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಅಸಂಗಶಸ್ತ್ರೇಣ ದೃಢೇನ ಚಿತ್ವ. ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್ ದಟ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಅಸಂಗಶಸ್ತ್ರೇಣ ದೃಢೇನ ಚಿತ್ವ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಕಟ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ಬನಿಯನ್ ಟ್ರೀ ಹೌ ಟು ಕಟ್ ಇಟ್. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಅಸಂಗಶಸ್ತ್ರೇಣ ವೈರಾಗ್ಯಂ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಸೋಡ್ ಫಾರ್ ಕಟ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ಟ್ರೀ. ವಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ ದಟ್ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಸಂಡೇ. ಸೊ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಸೀನ್ ದೇರ್ ವೈರಾಗ್ಯಂ or asangatvam. Asangatvam, another word is asangatvam. Vairagyam is not much different. But asangatvam can happen in two or three different ways. Remember? Krishna mentions this in the in the Bhagavatam as well as in the Bhagavad Gita also, that we gave this example, Gopi's Vairagyam. How did that happen? By knowing, realizing that Krishna is present in everyone. That way Asangatvam happened to them. Once you have known, realizes Krishna is present in everyone, naturally what will happen is that there is no question of special attachment to anybody. Everyone is on the same level. Due to that realization, Asangatvam comes to them. Remember they mentioned that, that how when Krishna told the gopis to go back, Gopi says to Krishna that that we have understood who you are, and knowing that very well, where is the question of difference between husband, the wife, or the children, parents, that difference has gone away from us inside. It's only that our mind has created all these differences in relationships with other people. That gopis are saying that all these false relationships, what we have generated within ourselves, arti deikim, except it has created arti, distress in us. That's what has done, nothing else, isn't it? So, from there you can see that gopis asangatvam happened in one way, through understanding of Krishna, which is the best asangatvam, the best possible. The other example we have seen about businessman, Patnathars, out of frustration with this world, that it did not make any sense to him, that when his own son walked away from home, saying to him, that what for are you creating all this wealth, for what? What are you doing this for? Opened his eyes and the son walked out. From that realization, that means through experiences in this world, you develop asangatvam. Another way of asangatvam happening in a person. And thirdly, which we said that in Tamogunam, how it happens, out of disgusted with the world, it happens in a different way. So, asanga shastrena drudhena chitva, Krishna is saying that asangatvam through self-realization is the best, what has happened to the gopis. Because there the realization has come to the gopis that except Krishna nothing else exists in this creation. So what is there to be given up? That understanding has come to them. So there we have seen there also, Parikshit Maharaj also walked out from the... These are all personalities who have left this world asanga shastrena. Parikshit is another example, isn't it? As soon as he came to know that the life is going to come to an end in 7 days' time, he walked out of the palace. And he mentions there that everything, because he had heard the Shastram before, and he knew this very well inside, that is why at the critical moment he was able to walk out from the house. Otherwise, how did this happen to him? When Shringi cursed him, immediately Parikshit Maharaj decided to go leave home and walk away from there. Why? Because the knowledge was inside before that, in advance. He mentions that in the Bhagavatam which we have seen. So, in one particular instance, when he realized that nothing in this world is permanent, we will say the same thing, but in our realization doesn't exist. That is why when we come to Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see that at the very beginning of the 11th canto, when this incident happened with his Yadavas, that Krishna decided to show to the world that nothing is permanent here, including my own family. Krishna's own family is not permanent here. That's what he wanted to show to us. That is why all that particular pastime for, where the Yadavas came, how Krishna got involved in that. Samba and other children got cursed by the sages. They could have gone back and told Krishna about it. They didn't. Instead, they went and reported to Ugrasena what happened. Neither Ugrasena had the intelligence to think to mention this to Krishna. By now, Yadavas started thinking, we don't need Krishna. Already this stage has come in the family. Initially, Yadavas used to think very high about Krishna. But this later stages, you can see, Yadavas started thinking, we are too powerful. We are too powerful. We don't need this Krishna anymore with us. When these thoughts are slowly building up in the Yadavas mind, and Yadavas decided that they can sort out the problem, although they were cursed by the great personalities like the Vasav and Angiras and Srinarada Maharshi, they were all there in that. So, what made them not to mention this to Krishna? This is a good question. In spite of the fact that they knew that the curse is very realistic because it's been spoken, and when they opened the Sambha's clothes, they found this piece of metal coming from there. And they mutually decided, Ugrasena and the Yadavas, all the children, Krishna's children also, they all together decided, we'll grind it and make it into powder and throw it into the sea and everything will be finished with that. And none of them had the felt the necessity to mention this to Krishna. Deliberately they did this. And Krishna also decided that it is time for them to leave. They should go. They shouldn't be staying here. So that vairagyam you can see there, that Krishna is saying to us that all these activities of Krishna's different activities is showing to us nothing is permanent here. In order to drive this point to our head, that do not endeavor too hard in this world to get settled, to make us aware and conscious of this fact that we have to go from here. Only for that purpose that this particular pastime of the Yadavas have shown to us. And later on, Yadavas decided that they are called in, and Krishna says to them that it appears as though that the Brahmanas are not happy with us. And there is a lot of indications that very soon the Dwaraka is going to be in serious trouble. And the only solution to the problem is to go to Prabhasam and perform their charity to the Brahmanas, invite them and give them a feast and feed them nicely, and then wash their feet and offer them dakshina and make them somehow happy about it, to get ourselves released from this curse of the Brahmanas. So they all decided to do that, and when they went to Prabhasam also, after everything was done, all the rituals associated with that, the next moment the Yadavas thought that they should get drunk. In whose head Krishna sits there and encourages them to do all these things. And they started beating up each other. Not only that, they even wanted to beat up Krishna and Balaram as well. That this is to extend their arrogance has gone into their head. Just to show to us that it is only takes a second for Krishna to screw up all our heads. It doesn't take very long. So that is what has happened there. And vairagyam asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. Krishna is saying, seeing these things, asangatvam must build up inside us. This is the idea of saying all these things to us. To know that nothing can remain here permanent. It's not possible. No matter how hard we try here. So, no, that therefore, asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. Krishna is saying that. So, here, it is in this situation we mentioned last time also, that the vairagyam develops in such a way that even if you start thinking, I mentioned this about Sadashiva Brahmendra's case, that when he was sleeping with the hand as a pillow, the two ladies walking out said, look at that, what kind of sannyasi, he is still attached to his pillow, he said, because he used his hand as a pillow. And then on the way back, they were mentioning that, and Sadashiva Brahmendra was listening what they had to say about him, what the world has to say about him. So, this vairagyam has to be such that we should not even think about what the world has to say about us. So, but there are people in this world who live in this world, but appears as though very materialistic outside, but internally very much detached from everything. Internally detached. Externally it may appear as though they are very, very attached to things. There is a story about Viluvangalam in this instance. Viluvangalam, in his journey, traveling, he was, being a sannyasi at that time, he was given a very big reception. He was invited for bhiksha by different families in different villages. In a very small village, when he arrived, the local village people, they decided to receive him, and Swamiji was going to spend his Chaturmasim in that village for a month or so. So they decided that every member in the village should invite him for a day. So they met together and they decided which day which family should offer the bhiksha to Viluvangalam. They were considering it as very fortunate to invite this famous personality there. So one particular person who belonged to the Brahmana community there, normally he was not very serious about his attention in all these things. And he decided that he will also offer his invitation to Viluvangalam to come and have bhiksha there. So the people who are organizing it, they knowing his habits very well, he used to come out of the house 8-9 o'clock in the morning. Before, they used to think that he was sleeping, he was not attending any of the programs at the temple, or he was not known well for following all the rigid rules of the Shastra. Anyway, he agreed to invite Viluvangalam to the house for a particular day. And on that day, when Viluvangalam went there in the morning, they blow the conch shell as usual from before the arrival of the sannyasi. The door was locked from inside. So the other people who have organized all these things, they thought that this man has probably slept off, hasn't done anything. Prepared the prasadam for him, or for the sannyasi comes, means with him, they'll have his own entourage with him. So Viluvangalam for a moment thought about this. He went and knocked at the door. He told everyone to wait. He said, I'm going to knock. When he knocked at the door, he could see that conversation between this person and Krishna going on inside. Krishna is saying, that person is saying to Krishna that, let me open the door, Viluvangalam is waiting outside. Krishna is saying to him, Viluvangalam can wait, there is no rush. I just want to play now. Krishna wants to play with this person. And that was his relationship with Krishna. Nobody knew about this. Such was the relationship between Krishna and the devotee. So Viluvangalam said to everybody, wait, we have to wait, because there is something happening inside between Krishna and the devotee. And later on, Viluvangalam mentions this to others, that we never know about people, what their relationships with Krishna is. We think everything external, isn't it, outside what goes on. But asanga shastrena dhadena jitva, when that vairagyam had come, and their relationship with Krishna is unknown to us. Externally, they appear to be very materialistic. Appears as though that they are living in this world with comforts and all that. But internally, that realization is very, very high in them. And that is what I'm saying. So, therefore, we don't have to decide this, who is the who has the vairagyam or not. So, and you don't have to get a certificate from outside on these matters, isn't it? That asanga shastram, that has to wake up inside us. It has to wake up inside us. So, the first thing is that whatever that is giving distress to us in this world, we have to learn first to give it up. Anything that is giving distress, we have to know to give it up. That is the important principle in this asanga shastra. Not to hold on to that, thinking again, attaching and attaching, more and more getting attached to it. If any object is giving distress to us, a person, an object, whatever it is, if it's giving distress to us, we should know how to give up that attachment with that vastu. Attachment with that vastu. That is what is asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. What is what it means by that? When Krishna is saying you should cut it off, dridhena chitva. Asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. Dridhena chitva means with a firmly rooted, you have to cut that connection off. That is the way to come out of that. Come out of that. So, what will happen if you do that? That's what Krishna is saying there. Tadappadam tad parimargidavyam. In the next line. He says, if you do like that, parimargam. Parimargam means inquiry about it. That you will start inquiring. Once you have done that, then the inquiry will begin inside. Because it is due to vairagyam, this self-inquiry gets stronger. Vairagyam helps. If it is attachment everywhere, you will not turn towards the soul. You will be attached to the objects and that will drag your mind outwardly to the world. But if vairagyam happens, asanga shastrana means vairagyam comes in, then dridhena chitva, this inquiry will become serious. Which inquiry? Inquiry of the alma, inquiry of the soul. That is what Krishna is saying here. Tadappadam tad parimargidavyam yasmin gadanam nivartanti bhuyaha. What does that mean? Means that going where you don't come back again, that's that place, inquiry. Inquiry about that place where you go, you don't come back in again. That means that state where this coming going will come to a stop. Coming going is this problem, isn't it? Material existence means coming and going. We're coming, we have a body, we live for some time, we're gone. Then we come back again, another body. This has to come to a end. That is what Krishna is saying here. Tadappadam tad parimargidavyam yasmin gada na nivartanti bhuyaha. So Krishna mentions earlier also the same thing. Nityam sarvagadasthanu achaloyam sanatana. Earlier words Krishna says. Sarvagadasthanu, that is the symptom of the truth. Truth is this, that sarvagadasthanu achaloyam sanatana. That chalanam, movement, comes to a stop and you go to the eternal position, what you are. And there, that is the nature of the soul is like that. Krishna talking about himself, he says that nityam sarvagadam sthanu achaloyam sanatana. In the second chapter, Krishna mentions this. So, in that, what is the speciality in those words is that there is no touch of any emotions in that. In other words, coming going doesn't exist in that. That is the state of the soul. Soul means no coming going. Mind is coming going. When you are in identification with the mind, with the subtle body, and even with the gross body, coming going will happen. The moment we move away from the body and the mind and come to the platform of the soul, coming going stops. There is no more coming going after that. This coming going is the one which is causing the material existence. Why we suffer today? Because of this coming going business. So, and that does not mean that we are going to die. What happens is, body will go one day, but this movement of the mind inside from one body to another body, everything stops with that. Everything stops with that. That means that they are in the yoga state. Yoga state. They never... that is what Krishna is saying here. Na nivartandi bhuyaha. Yasmin tatapadandat parimargidavyam. Yasmin gada na nivartandi bhuyaha. That's what it means. That you are in the yoga state. There is no more coming going business. It is stopped once for all. Yasmin, that is what we are looking for. That is what liberation means. These are all different words for liberation. Krishna is putting it in a different way. The same thing. What we call as liberation, what we call as freedom from modes of nature, what we call as the final destination, going back home, back to Godhead. All this means only one thing. What is that? Yasmin gada na nivartanti bhuyaha. You should not come back again. If you are coming back, that means you are not gone back. That's what it means, isn't it? So, that is the state right now here. Krishna says you should have it. Jivan Mukta state. Right now, that state we should achieve here. So, in other words, Krishna is saying here that once you have realized the self, you won't lose it. You won't lose it once you have realized it. In the Bhagavadam, they use the word Sagrup Vipadam. Sagrup Vipadam, that's the word they used. In other words, every time when the sun rises in the morning, he has risen and there is no more sunset after that. Self-realization is like that. Once the sun has risen, then there is no more sunset after that. That satyasthiti, that is called Parimargidavyam. Parimargidavyam. Yasmin gadana nanivartanti bhuyaha. Where is that state? Where will you inquire about that? Where will you inquire about that? How will you find out? And that is what Krishna himself is saying. The easiest process for that. Tameva adhyam purusham prabhadye yada pravarti prabhata prasada purani. That is the answer for that. In order to find that place where you don't come back again, the easiest solution Krishna is saying here, tameva chadyam purusham prabhadye. Surrender unto Krishna. Surrender unto that Purusha, Andaryami, Krishna, who is within the heart of everyone. This is the point Krishna is asking us to surrender. Very clearly Bhagavad Gita talks about that. And so, I surrender unto him, Krishna is saying here. And where is that Purushan? Krishna is saying here, within ourselves. He is present there. So, in Bhagavad Gita you will see this. Krishna mentions this later. You know that. Ishvara sarvabhudanam hruddeshe arjuna tishtavi brahmayan sarvabhudhani yantrarudhani mayaya. After saying that, in the very next words, tameva sharanam gacha. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you can see very clearly where to surrender. People ask the question all the time, isn't it? Whom should I surrender to? Tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharada El Prasadal Param Shandim Stanam Prapsisishashvadam. That is where that surrender. And this instance, what Krishna has spoken to Arjuna, it's one of the most beautiful presence in Bhagavad Gita of Krishna. Krishna is very clearly saying to Arjuna, surrender and surrender to whom? Both. Isn't it? So, showing Krishna's position, where he is, and where to surrender, and that is, and how to surrender, this is the question, isn't it? That we will see later, how do surrender happens. But first thing is, to whom to surrender, and where to surrender, these two things. Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati. Again, same thing Krishna is saying here. Tameva chadyam purusham. Prabhadye tameva chadyam purusham prabhadye yada pravarti prasrida purani. So that is the immediate instruction. First, where to surrender, and secondly, whom to surrender. Krishna, who is situated as Andaryami in everyone, that is where we have to make that surrender. That's the most important thing. So, what does surrender mean? That's the next question, isn't it? Everyone uses this word very freely. You have to surrender. That's it. We all say that, isn't it? So, how will that happen? What does that surrender mean? Surrender means, we have all recognized that there is false ego inside, ahankara. All of us have got, is it not? And that false ego is moving always. Chalanam, it's called movement of that false ego. Sharanagati is that state that false ego doesn't move anymore. Constantly, what's our life is the movement of the false ego. Is it not? I've done this, I've done that, I'll do this, I'll do that. A lot of things, me, and everything that me is very powerful. It's me who is operating our life all the time, this ahankaram. When that stops, that sharanagati, that ahankaram's movement, when that stops, that's called sharanagati. In a very subtle language, that is how you have to put it. It is not physically paying your obeisances is sharanagati. Or if you say that people surrender to all sorts of things in this world, with misunderstanding, that's all a bodily surrender. You can surrender to so many things. But this surrender Krishna is talking about is when you surrender, that movement of the false ego stops inside, that is Sharanagati. That is Sharanagati. So how will that surrender? If you think that it will surrender, that it is not going to surrender. When will that surrender? Because in order to surrender, this false ego has to put a lot of effort first. It has to put a lot of effort first. And then finally, the false ego will realize it cannot do it. It cannot do it. That is how it happens. First of all, it has to work very hard because its ahankaram is so strong inside. So it keeps working very hard. That is sadhana. Sadhana is nothing but the effort of the false ego to surrender. But because it cannot surrender, he will continue doing a lot of effort. That is called sadhana. And finally, after working very hard for a long period of time in life, he'll come to know that I cannot surrender. I cannot surrender. And he will become helpless. And that is when that happens. So, you can look at this all the time. This is a very interesting thing. When you are in the presence of a Mahatma, a great soul, have you noticed that you naturally you become very humble inside, isn't it? Your ahankaram, in a natural way, it goes away. It becomes, you feel very respectful. To suppose you are in the presence of a very great personality. When I'm talking about a highly realized soul, or a great devotee, or a jnani, as soon as you walk into their presence, inside you, in a natural way, you feel a kind of surrender, a kind of freedom from the false ego. From the false ego. It happens naturally, in a natural way. Even when you go to the temple, you feel that, is it not? When you are in front of the deities, you feel a certain respect inside. In a natural way, it comes from there. So, ahankaram, false ego, is always like that. Always on a higher presence. Higher presence, it will surrender. It will surrender. Temples or in the great Mahatmas, without our knowledge, it happens. Without our knowledge, it happens. So, therefore, you can see there, only on a person who is on a much higher level, this surrender will happen inside. So, you can study all the Shastram, the logic, the grammar, Vedantam, all these things. You can study all those things, but how to get rid of that person who is doing the study? That's the most difficult thing, isn't it? How to get rid of that ahankaram? Ahankaram is that person who is doing that. All the chanting he does, all the studying he does, all the deity worship he does. But how to get rid of that man who is doing it? All that, isn't it? So that is why, that is where the mercy of the spiritual master comes. Spiritual master's presence, that his grace, that is his grace. Grace is this, that in his presence, his kripa or grace, that he takes your false ego and swallows that. And that is why it is important that Krishna mentions this, that in Bhagavatam as well as in the Bhagavad Gita as well, that a higher authority is necessary to whom you can surrender. And that authority must be on a much higher level, only then you can surrender. Only then you can surrender. In your surrender, your ego in a natural way, it will get subdued. It will get subdued. So that subduing is, his grace comes and swallows our ego. Swallows our ego. Like they say, the river goes to the ocean, isn't it? And as soon as it gets there, what happens? The ocean swallows the river. And there is no river anymore. In the same way, our ahankaram will only surrender to a higher person who is superior spiritually. And that is why that is necessary to have that association of a great soul, to get that, to surrender unto him. Ordinary people, if you surrender, it won't happen, because the mind will come back and again create trouble. So this is where the difficulty. So there, what will happen is, kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam will go, ragam, duesham will go. all these four things what we talked about, Jagat, Kartrutva, Bhoktrutva, Raga, Dvesham, these four things will disappear in the association of a great soul. That is what Krishna is saying. Tameva chadyam purusham prabhadye. So surrender unto him, and then you will know that you will realize that I am not doing anything. You will realize that in his association. Even now, we are not doing anything. But that ignorance is in me that I am doing so many things at the moment. But actually, I am not doing anything. So, you can see this when we are talking, for example. You don't do it consciously. And you feel that it has to happen. Krishna is prompting from within. To talk about Krishna, to talk about, repeat what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is actually nothing but that if you accept either in the presence of Krishna or of your great soul, that you surrender to him and take the shelter. And that way Krishna's grace comes, or through directly or through the spiritual master. So if you will see this in the Bhagavatam, when Dhruva Maharaj says this to Krishna, is it not? If you look into Dhruva Stuti, Dhruva's prayers, what did he say? Yonda pravishya mama vaja vimam prasuptam sanjeevayat agila shakti dharas sodham nam anyamsha hasta charana shravanam togadin pranan namo bhagavade purushaya tubhyam. Dhruva Maharaj's first words to Krishna was this. When you look into Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj is a kshatriya and he had a lot of ego in him. That is what prompted him to go to the forest, isn't it? That's what prompted him to go. He told Narada Maharshi, I am a kshatriya, he said. I am not going to give up easily. He said, my father has insulted me and I will take the revenge. That was his mood when he went to the forest. And Surichi offended him by saying that you should come and take birth in my womb, only then you can sit in your father's lap, Uttana Bhadas. He got hurt, a 5-year-old boy got hurt for saying this. And he goes to the forest. And the Narada Maharshi on the way stopped him and told him that, why you get upset like this? This is not the time, you should go to the forest and inquire about Krishna and all. Dhruva Maharaj says, don't hold me back, he said. I am decided and that's what I am going to do it. So after seeing Krishna in the forest, after Narada Maharshi understood Dhruva's mood and gave him the mantra to chant, the place to perform the his austerities, and everything he instructed, and the form to remember. So many things Sri Narada Maharshi instructed him. Dhruva went to the forest, and after 6 months, Krishna appeared in front of him. And he says to him, Yonda pravishya mama vacha mimam prasuptam. Dhruva Maharaj couldn't speak anything. When Krishna touched Dhruva Maharaj's cheek with the conch shell, Dhruva Maharaj started speaking, and this is how he spoke, isn't it? He spoke, Dhruva says to him, in that verse he is saying, I don't know how things are happening. Yonda pravishya, you are inside me. This is how Dhruva Maharaj, yo anda pravishya, andaryami, referring to his own andaryami, is saying, yo anda pravishya, mama vacha mimam prasuptam, by whose presence I am able to speak. If you are not there inside me, I couldn't speak. That is the surrender. Sanjeevayati akhila shakti dharya sudhamnam. By whose presence alone I receive all the energy to do various things. What all? Anyamscha hasta charana shravana togadin. Hands and legs are operating and I am able to hear. And all other functions in this body is happening because of whose presence? Pranan namo bhagavade purushaya tubhyam. I pay my obeisances to you. So this is what that surrender means. Dhruva Maharaj is the best example for that. when Krishna is saying Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridayeshu Arjuna Tishtati, if you want a personality who has acknowledged this, is Dhruva. Dhruva is the best example there. Dhruva says there that I don't know why I'm getting hungry. When I eat the food, I get satisfied. When the hunger goes away and the body receives all the energy. Where is the explanation to that? How this system works, isn't it? We say science, science, science. What answer science has got for this? When we eat food, we get the energy, isn't it? How? Who is doing this from inside? Similarly, when we are getting tired, naturally the sleep comes and puts us to sleep and refreshes us again, rejuvenates us. Who is doing this? Who is doing this, isn't it? So, so we think we are doing all these things, that is what we are feeling about that. But who is doing this, that is the question. So once you inquire, who is the behind it, that is the inquiry of the self, inquiry of the self. At the moment we are thinking we are doing all these things, we don't do anything, Krishna is doing everything, is it not? So when our inquiry begins, who is actually doing it? That is the most important thing for us to understand in all these things. Of course, in the Bhagavatam it is spoken through the Dhruva's example like this to make it a little bit easier for us to understand. But the important principle there is that when we eat, when we sleep, and various activities when we do, who is actually doing it? This question has to come back to us again and again. So, aham, I am doing this, I am doing this, that aham, who is this aham? That's the inquiry. So, you can see this, there's only very little difference between us and Prahlada. Prahlada mentions this in the Bhagavatam. If you look in the 7th canto, you will see that Prahlada's words there. What is the difference between Prahlada and us? This is the difference. Prahlada mentions there, if you look in the 4th chapter in the 7th canto, about Prahlada, they say, he's saying here, Narada Maharshi is saying about his own disciple, 7438. Asinan, Pariyadan, Ashnan, Shayanan, Prabhiban, Bruvan. Nanu Sandatha Edani, Govinda Parirambhida. This is the verse. Asinam Pariyadan Ashnan, Shayana Prabhiban, Bruvan. Nanu Sandatha Edani, Govinda Parirambhidaha. Govinda Parirambhida. This is him. We don't recognize Krishna is doing. Prahlada recognizes Krishna is doing everything. This is while sitting, while walking, while eating, while sleeping, while speaking, all the times, Prahlada was fully conscious Krishna is doing everything. That's all the difference between Prahlada and us. Whereas when we do all these things, it's us who are doing it, isn't it? That's what you mentioned there. Nyastak in the next verse before that, Nyastha Kridanago Balo Jadavatan Manastaya Krishna Graha Grahid Alma Naveda Jagadi Drisham. Krishna Graha Grahid Alma. Krishna has caught him. This is how Krishna catching means this. If Krishna catches someone, what will happen to that person is he will realize that Krishna is doing everything. That is Krishna's catching. Krishna Graha Grahid Alma. Krishna has taken control of Prahlada in such a way, Prahlada became fully conscious that Krishna is doing everything all the time through that body. Because Krishna has not caught us, we are fully confident that we are doing everything. That's all the difference. This is all the difference. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, when we get more interested, oh, Prahlada is amazing, isn't it? What happened to him when all the elephants kicked him, thrown away from the top of the hills and very powerful snakes bitten him. We start thinking, amazing, amazing, everything amazing. Prahlada's body must be something like titanium or something, which doesn't get... We think in a different way, is it not? Because of our mind is dictating to us. But the way you have to understand these verses is, The philosophical understanding behind that is that he has come to this realization, like you mentioned last class, that when Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu was talking, they are standing in the same place. And Hiranyakashipu is saying to Prahlada, I can't see Krishna anywhere. I can't see Krishna anywhere. Prahlada says, I can only see Krishna, I can't see anything else everywhere. And Hiranyakashipu felt very offended by Prahlada saying that, is it not? And that's when he pulled out the sword and he decided, he thought Prahlada was having a go at him, making fun of him. So he pulled out the sword and wanted to hit Prahlada. At that time, Prahlada is seeing not the pillar, he is seeing Narasimhamurti standing there. So the change has to happen in us, not in the world. This is what it is indicating. Any change spiritually has to happen in us, not in the world. World will go its own way. You can't do anything about it. And it's better not to bother about it too much. The world, like the way Prahlada's vision has changed, Prahlada's realization you can see. Asinan pariyadannashnan shayana prabhivan bruvan nanu sandattametani govinda parirambhidaha. Govinda parirambhida. Govinda has gone inside and Prahlada knows nothing except Govinda, except Krishna. That is what he is saying here. So, he never says, I've done this, I've gone there or anything like that. What has happened to him? Govinda parirambhida. So, always under Govinda's, Krishna's control. What does that mean? It means at no point in time Prahlada had any false ego. False ego has completely gone from inside. False ego never... Remember, this false ego comes out from the same place, Hrit, where our awareness comes. Chit Shakti. Where the awareness comes, it's from the same point this false ego also manifests. So these two things, awareness also comes from the same spot where Krishna is present inside. Awareness comes from the same spot, false ego also comes from the same spot. And when if our inquiry of the self becomes very powerful, when we become very strong in our inquiry, you will finally see that this ahankaram or false ego will be pulled back by a power from inside and that it will disappear. Aham mayam kudo bhavati chinvadam, ai patandyaham nija vicharanam. Aham ivasam bhaji aham ahandaya spurati hrit swayam parama purna sat. This is from the Upadesha Saram, Ramana Maharshi's essentials. This. That if you inquire where this ahankaram is waking up, where is it coming from, and if you keep on inquiring about this false ego, you will finally see that this ahankaram disappears from inside. It will go back and dissolve where it originally came from. And there, the sat, there is no more aham kriti there, and then instead it is aham bodham. Awareness comes in that place. So, and that is in the case of a realized soul, one who has realized the self, that is what happens. And such a person, he does everything in this world like everybody else. He takes his food and he speaks like anybody else. But even though he is doing all these things, he is more like a temple there. It's more like a temple. In other words, his body is like a moving temple. It's like a moving temple. What he is carrying is Krishna inside, not the false ego anymore. He's carrying only Krishna inside. That's all. So, even though he may be doing so many things, in none of his activities, there is this ahankaram there. Any role to play there. So, even now, it is Krishna is doing it. Only thing is we are not conscious of that. That's the difference. Even now also, Krishna is doing that. That is why Krishna is saying, ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. Isn't it? Ahankaram is saying that I am doing it. But in reality, Krishna is doing that, even now. But when it comes into realization, like in the case of Prahlada or in the case of Dhruva, when it comes to that, realize that there is no more they doing anything anymore. It is at that time Kartrutva Bhoktrutva has gone from inside. So they give this example that one person was traveling by train. He had a big suitcase with him. He was carrying the suitcase on his head while sitting in the train. So he said that, why should I? Train is already carrying so many people, at least let me carry the suitcase. And he put it on his own head to carry it. It is a similar situation. Even now Krishna is doing everything. You can see that. Krishna is doing everything. But still we feel that we are doing it, isn't it? This is that feeling that is what is causing the problem. So, Vṛdhā Ahaṅkaraṇam Param says in the Bhāgavatam. So, I am doing this. Aham Kartedi, if you look into the discussion between Ashtavakra and Janaka, they are talking about the same thing. There's a whole chapter about Ahaṅkaraṁ in there. And he will mention there, Aham Kartedi Aham Manam Maha Krishnadi Damshidaha. This Aham Karta, I am the doer, is a big black snake that is bitterness. It's a powerful and very poisonous snake that has bitten all of us. Aham Kartedi Aham Mana Maha Krishnadi Damshidaha. Maha Krishnadi, a black snake, has Maha Krishnadi Damshidaha, has bitten us. Therefore, we are feeling this. Naham Kartedi Vishwasam Amrdam Vitva Sukhi Bhava. If you have this Vishwasam, I am not doing anything. If that comes to us one day, then Amrdam Vitva Sukhi Bhava. You have drunk the nectar and you become really happy. That's the only solution to the problem. Till this Aham Karta goes away from inside, there's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing we can do about it. So, that is called Ajnanam Avidya. Jnanam, Ajnanam or Avidya. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. That's the poison that has got inside because it is bitten by this black snake. This black snake. So, that's what Ashtavakra says there. That the antidote for that poison is Naham Kartedi Vishwasam Amrutam Bhitva Sukhi Bhava. That I am not doing anything, Krishna is doing everything. This realization has to happen. That Krishna, who is running this whole creation, he himself is doing everything, and I am nothing in front of that power, Krishna's power. I am neither the doer nor the enjoyer. And that medicine we have to take. This is the medicine we have to take to come out of this. I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer. That's the most important thing. If you don't take the medicine, Krishna will force us to take it one day. So, and what is the, how does Krishna force? He will give you distress. Distress is the answer for that. So, if I wander around in this world, I am doing so many big things. If you think like that and start doing that, Krishna will start beating. Krishna will start beating. And every time when you get beaten, and it will be in the form of some severe distress that will come. And finally, after getting a lot of distress, ultimately, you will ask this question, who is this person getting distressed? Who is experiencing the distress? Because actually, Krishna is not beating us. Krishna is beating that person inside who is our enemy. Which one? This ego. Ego inside. And who is giving us trouble all the time. It is he who gets beaten, isn't it? Krishna, when he beats us in the form of distress, when he gives us and he beats us, who is actually suffering? Atma is Nityashuddha Buddha Muktam. He doesn't suffer. It is our Ahankaram that suffers, isn't it? So, you know, in the nowadays you take mental patients to psychologists, isn't it? In the olden days, this psychiatry and psychology didn't exist. There were different ways of curing the illness of the mental patients. Mental patients were cured in a different way. they used to say that ghosts have got into them, and there are different methods of getting rid of the ghost from the body of the people, isn't it? So at that time, these persons, pujaris or whatever, they do that. They will invite the person who has got the sickness, mental sickness, and put him in the front. And they have their own particular ways of getting rid of the ghost from the body. In every country, I think it existed. But now we have become so advanced that we don't think, believe in all that, but we have different ways of curing these illnesses, trying to cure at least. So, all this distress is actually for the false ego, for the false ego. And real me inside, none of them is touching me. So that is why when Krishna is beating us through distress, it is our false ego that's getting beaten all the time. And Krishna will beat us so many times till that ego goes away from inside. If he doesn't go, Krishna says, I have to do it again and again. So that removing that ahankaram from inside, that is what Krishna is saying in that verse, that tameva chadyam purusham prabhadye yata pravarti prasada purani. That one. Tameva chadyam purusham prabhadye. That's the only way that ahankaram will go from inside. Otherwise it will stay. It will stay. We know that, isn't it? Sometimes when you get beaten, for a moment you will feel a little subdued. The next moment the ahankaram comes back again. That is the important thing. So, by whose presence, from time immemorial, everything is going on in this world, all the moments are happening, and to him, surrender to him. That is the point Krishna is making. That tameva chadyam purusham prabhadye yada pravarti prasada purani. Look at each word how Krishna has used them. Not today, from time immemorial, I'm running this show. You have come only today, Krishna is saying. You are thinking you are doing everything. I've been running this show for such a long time. Prasada Purani, he says. I've been here for so long, and this show has been going on here. But you came in the suddenly in the middle and started saying, I'm doing everything. He said, that's why he's also saying to us that. Yada Pravarti Prasada Purani. I've been here, the one who has been doing for such a long time. So, that is what he is saying here, that from Krishna came and Krishna is saying here, from me this thing has come, this creation has come. Tameva chadyam purusham prabhadye yada pravartya pravarti prasada purani, prasada purani. So, recognizing that is the first thing. That before I came here, how was this world going? How things were going on here? Prasada Purani, because that person, Krishna, he has been behind it, running this show from time immemorial. And to him, surrender, Krishna says. To him. So respecting that, recognizing that Krishna's presence in this world, even before my arrival here, that's the first important thing. So, to him surrender. So, when you look outside in the world, you see that Krishna has been here and running this world before. And now when you look inside also, what do you see? Krishna is doing everything there also. Inside as well as outside, Krishna is doing everything. Inside the body, in the form of blood circulation, breathing, and similarly, all other activities in the body, circulation, and everything, Krishna is doing it, isn't it? That is what Krishna is saying. That yada pravarti prasrada purani. Know his activities well and see how long he has been doing this and surrender unto him. It's so important to recognize all these things. Because we don't recognize this, therefore our ego goes high, isn't it? This is the truth. Rishis are telling us the truth. And it's up to us to take the truth on board and live accordingly. But if you ignore all these things, then what's the point in doing glorifying Krishna all the time? saying that you are great and you look so beautiful. What's the point when we don't recognize what he is telling us to do? Krishna is telling to us, before you came to this world, I have been running this show here. That means this world goes on under Krishna's direction. Even if you look inwards, everything what happens inside the body is also under Krishna's control. So what is in our control? There is nothing in our control practically. So, Prasadapurani. So, in the night, I sleep comfortably. Who is putting me to sleep? And once I have slept, I have no work to do. But Krishna's work is still going on. Isn't it? So, I have slept even without a dream. But as soon as I woke up in the morning, first thing is, I woke up. I came up first, isn't it? So, that is the first movement of the ego. When you wake up in the morning, then you become conscious of yourself, your existence, awareness, isn't it? Why did that move? Why did that movement happen? Because the mind is moved. Mind moved and the ahankaram also moved. And from where did that move? Where did that movement happen? You can see there, some people will say it has come from Sushupti, from the deep sleep state, isn't it? Because you were in the deep sleep before that. So, in the Sushupti state, in the deep sleep state, you had one coverage of the whole thing. That is called Avaranam, Avaranam Shakti, isn't it? For temporarily. And where is that Avaranam or covering? That is also in that awareness. I am, I am. That awareness, that coverage also is there, isn't it? Aham asmi, yoham asmi, aham evaham asmi. Upanishad says, you can't say anything more than that. That means, in my awareness of me, of my awareness, which was present in the deep sleep state, as well as in the three states, which one, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, in all the three states, these three states are happening in that awareness, is it not? Because I have that awareness, it is in that awareness these three states are coming and going. Waken state, dream state, deep sleep. But awareness is permanent. Awareness is permanent. And if you don't have the awareness, these three states don't exist. Because of the awareness only, these three states, presence, coming and going, is experienced by us. Experienced by us. This is an important understanding because you can see here that in the dream state, our personality is very weak, isn't it? That ahankaram, personality is very weak. In the wakened state, it is very strong. And in the deep sleep, it totally disappears. You see, that ahankaram, what we are talking about, if you look at the movement of that ahankaram, in the morning when you wake up, it comes. Same time, mind also comes, isn't it? Ahankaram, manasa, they are all same actually, but because of its functional differences, we call it differently. Vastu is same, comes from the same source. But how, the movement if you observe, you will notice that, in wakened state, it is very powerful, that ahankaram. In the dream state, it is slightly weak, isn't it? Because ahankaram, you can observe yourself in the dream state, the manifestation of the ahankaram is very, very weak. Whereas in the deep sleep state, it totally disappears. So in the deep sleep state, it has gone and dissolved somewhere. But that awareness, aham padartham, aham, is still there. How do you know? Because as soon as you come out of the Sushupti state, it tells you what you have experienced in the deep sleep, isn't it? Experience is still there for you. Intelligence is not reporting. Mind is not reporting, but you have not forgotten the happiness you had in the deep sleep. That's called ahambadartham. Ahambadartham. Nityam Sushuptavadi. So, that state is Sushupti state also, it is there as pure existence. That is how it is. Astitvam. Astitvam means that you knew that you existed in the deep sleep. How do you know? Because You feel in the vacant state, as soon as you wake up in the morning, that in the deep sleep you felt a happiness, unusual happiness, isn't it? So, not an individual, but as an existence. You didn't feel like an individual at that time, but you felt more like your existence was there. Existence was there. And in the Sushupti state or the deep sleep state also, it existed. So, it is the same vastu. What was in the Sushupti state, what you experienced as existing, as awareness which existed there, that is the same thing which is the basis or adhishtanam in the dream state also. It becomes, when we understand this little better, you will know that finer things of that. This is the finer side of it. This is what is discussed in the Vedantic texts more. What they say to us is that take these three states all the time. Vacant state, dream state, deep sleep. Compare them all the time, one state to another, how it differs from one to another. What is the speciality of the vacant state? One speciality is this, ahankaram is very powerful. As you move into the dream state, ahankaram gets weakened. And when you go into deep sleep, ahankaram disappears, completely disappears. But you still realize it, that your existence has not disappeared in the deep sleep state. How? Because when you wake up in the morning, you experience immediately that you had a good experience. Some experience was there in the deep sleep state. So, in order to experience anything, you need a basis for that. Something has to be there. Some basis has to be there. And that basis is called adhishtanam. Adhishtanam is the word that is used. So, it is that adhishtanam, or what they call it substratum, adhishtanam, that's another word, right word, that it is with that adhishtanam, jagrat state, sopnam, dream state, and deep sleep all happens. All happens, isn't it? You see, atma, or aham bodham, or awareness, if that was not there, then these three states also you can't experience. In order to experience these three states, you need a foundation for that. That foundation is this awareness or avabodham. It is called avabodham. That avabodham is Krishna. Avabodham is Krishna. That is how you have to understand that. Ahankaram is jiva. Avabodham is Krishna. That is why Krishna is addressed. Sandram, anandam, avabodham. Chitshakti, anandam is the bliss. Knowledge and bliss. That is what's called a knowledge in the Bhagavatam. So, you will notice there that in the vacant state, the body is there, the mind is there, and the awareness is there. Awareness is there. In the dream state, body is not there, mind is there, awareness is there. And in the deep sleep, body is not there, mind is not there, awareness is there. Awareness is there. So, that awareness, avabodham, that is what the other word they have used. And Krishna mentions there that these three things is what is happening due to the power of the jiva. Jiva Shakti it is. Jiva's experience that is. That jiva Shakti manifests in these three levels. Awareness and in the form of a vacant state, in the dream state and in the deep sleep. So, when all these three states are coming and going, there is someone behind that who is not affected by any of these things. That is what is called, Krishna calls it as Parama Purusham. Parama Purusham. If you look there, you will see there that Tameva Chadyam Purusham Pravardhye Yada Pravarti Prasada Purani. Yada Pravarti Prasada Purani. We are talking about this Supreme Person, Yoga of the Supreme Person. This is Purushottama. It's called Purushottama. He is that Purushottama who doesn't change. So, so, it is here that this question comes. We as Ahankaram, today is Jiva, isn't it? Is Jiva. Krishna as Parama Purushottama, who is present inside each one of us, is that awareness. Krishna is the foundation. In Him, we as Jiva survives. In Him. If He is not there, we are not there. That's the relationship. He can exist on His own. We can't exist on His own. We can only exist if He is there. That is why this Jiva and Atma, Jivatma and Paramatma relationship is quite difficult to understand. Understand means, till it is realized, it will always remain as an unknown thing. Sometimes people argue about it. Arguing is no use about it, whether it's two or one. It's arguing has no meaning, because you can see the relationship is like that. If Paramatma is there, only then Jivatma can exist. Jivatma cannot exist on its own. But Paramatma can exist on its own. So Vedantam says, Jivatma, Paramatma, there is no difference. There's only one. Dvaitam says, they're always different. But argument from both sides, if you hear, it's both difficult to make a clear judgment on that, because it's very difficult to say this. So Krishna is saying here that even if you take these three things, in the Bhagavadam, it mentions a sapna jagara sushuptim aveti nityam, in the Pipalanamashi's words. Sapnam jagaratam jagrati and sushupti aveti nityam, he says. So one who is observing these three states all the time in all of us, one who is observing these three states coming and going, because when I say to somebody I was asleep, that means I was going through deep sleep. Who is saying this? Similarly, I was dreaming, I say. Who is dreaming? Similarly, when I'm waking up, vacant state, I say, I was awake. Who was awake? So, one sitting inside, reporting about these three states coming and going, Krishna is saying here, and who is as a witness to everything, he is the Adhishtana, or the foundation, or the basis for that. That vastu, one has to experience. We have to experience that. Now we experience the Ahankaram. We don't experience that. When you experience that, Krishna is saying, that is what he is saying, that Satyavastu, when you get clarity inside and start experiencing him, Krishna is saying, in order to experience that, Tameva Chadyam Purusham Prabhadye, surrender unto him, that person who is inside. And Sharanagati, that is what he is saying here. That is the something what you cannot do now. The only thing what you can do is to hand over to the person who can do it. Is it not? Suppose I can't do it. What's the next solution to that? One who can do it, that is Krishna inside. Krishna who is present inside as Paramatma, Super Soul, whichever way you call it, in whatever way you address it. That Atma, Paramatma, Krishna, who is present inside, surrendering to him, only he can do that. Make it happen. He can only make it happen. And that is what his surrender means. That Sharanagati means, that means first you hand over your body to him, the mind to him, intelligence to him, and everything handing over to him, and with that, all our problem is finished. Once still that is handed over. After that, you can't say, you can't make any complaint after that, once you have. So people sometimes say, I have surrendered, I have surrendered. Then they complain. If you have surrendered, you shouldn't be complaining, isn't it? That's the principle. If you have properly surrendered, and this surrender is even a ritual. In Ramanuja Sampradayam, they have that, Sharanagari. They put all the different holy names on your body at different places. Yashava, Narayana, Madhava, Govinda, Vishnu, all that things, and through a ritual they make you surrender. And as soon as this thing is over, ritual is over, he is complaining again. So there is no meaning to that, is it not? There is no meaning. Sharanagari, once you are properly surrendered, you should have no complaint about this world. That is the proper Sharanagati. If you are still complaining anything, that means you are not surrendered. That's what it is. So, there are many examples in the great personality, great devotees, these things. Once one Mahatma had a disciple who constantly said that I can't do this, I can't do anything. The spiritual master told him, gave him a lot of sadhana to do. And this person was finding it very difficult. He told him, you chant every day, 3 hours or 4 hours, the holy name, and told him, you do this deity worship, you study Srimad Bhagavatam, you go to the temple every day. Initially he said, yes, I'll do it. And then he found that everything very difficult. He couldn't do anything. He was finding it very difficult. So he started complaining to the spiritual master that, I can't do anything, I'm finding it very difficult. So he asked him, the spiritual master told him, can you do one thing then? He said, yes, you hand over your mind to me then. He said. So after that, the spiritual master told him that you can't complain anymore anything in future. Because you handed over everything to me. And then where is the question of complaint again after that? If you really handed over to me, then you can't complain. So that is the same answer here. So just like what they say, the power of attorney. You have given it to me, so you have to do what I say now. You can't complain anymore. So that is the only way Krishna is expecting also. So even to breathe, you have to ask for permission. Then after that. So when you surrender, Sharanagati, what Krishna is talking about, you have to remember that body is not anymore our body. That is Krishna's body then. It is Krishna's responsibility. That means you've got to analyze all these things in the way Krishna has spoken and come to this conclusion. That means if you have surrendered something, then you should never complain that, oh, my mind is giving me problem, my body is giving me trouble. All these complaints must stop. Then the question will come, whose mind? If you have surrendered, then whose mind? So somebody, so just like when you are keeping a cow, and you will be concerned about the cow as long as you are keeping the cow. Once you have sold the cow to somebody, then you won't inquire about the cow's welfare, isn't it? So similarly, after you have handed over the cow to someone, you can't inquire about it. Similarly, it's the same way, what you have handed over something, if you have really surrendered to Krishna, if you have really surrendered your body and the mind to Krishna, then whatever happens into the body and the mind, you can't really complain about it. You can't never complain about it. Because prapatti means that. That's what Krishna is saying there. That prapatti. This is proper surrender Krishna is talking about. That tameva chadyam purusham prapadye. It is so important to understand that in the proper way. That if you have surrendered something, then you can't complain anymore about anything in this world. No matter what happens, if Krishna puts you through a lot of problems also, you have to keep your mouth shut. You can't complain. Only then it is surrender. Otherwise, where is the surrender? It will be like the Ramanuja tradition of stamping with Sharanagati. That is no use. That doesn't help. Of course, Ramanuja Charya stand introduced as a principle. He spoke first to the people. That Sharanagati means total surrender. Otherwise, there is no question. People surrender to all wrong places, isn't it? In the individuals and then institutions and so many things. That is not surrender. Surrender is only when you have surrendered to Krishna completely. So, therefore, when health goes away, you can't complain. When the health goes away, you can't complain. So, you have to remember that if ill health comes, Krishna is standing in front of you in the form of ill health. In the form of ill health. I pay my obeisances to you. You have to say to Krishna like that. So, any complaint comes from inside only when you think that it's yours. It's yours, isn't it? So, just like you can see, suppose you had rented a house. While you are living in the house, if anything breaks in the house or anything goes wrong in the house, you're not too bothered. It's up to the landlord to fix it. But suppose you got your 20% from the government and you bought the flat. and you had your small 5% deposit or whatever, the new scheme, and you bought the house, from that moment onwards, if any scratch happens, you'll be concerned about the house, isn't it? So you can see from that, only when it becomes yours, you're concerned. That mamada, attachment, that's what Krishna is saying here. Then, otherwise, even if the whole house collapses, you're not bothered, you'll walk, get another house, you'll move somewhere else, isn't it? So here, you can see that, why did that happen? Because somewhere you have signed some document, and on the paper it just says it's yours now. So you are concerned about that, and the whole mood changed. Whole mood changed. So as soon as you realize it's not yours, then you're not bothered about it, isn't it? So this change is what has to happen inside us. That this body, today I am thinking it's my body, and therefore I have the problem. Just like when you leave the house, and a landlord is somebody else is owning the house, then you're not worried about it. If the house breaks down or it collapses, what does it matter? The same. So this shift is necessary in us at the moment. It's not happening. That's why the problem is. It's a very simple thing, but that shift is necessary. So it's not my body, it is Krishna's body. Krishna's body, Krishna's mind, Krishna's intelligence, and all the ownership also is Krishna's. Kartratvam, Bhoktratvam, both belongs to Krishna. And including this Vyakti Bodham, which is Ahankaram, is also Krishna's. Because it's from Him that it has come. This, I remember that Ahankaram cannot exist without Paramatma there. Paramatma can exist on its own. In realized state, that's what happens. Paramatma exists. But Ahankaram cannot exist on its own. Paramatma is necessary. And that is the proof that Ahankaram has come from Paramatma. Ahankaram has also come from Paramatma. And that is what we call it as Jivatma today. Jivatma today. So, main thing is to come to this recognition that it is only Krishna exists. We don't exist in reality. So, in other words, if it comes to this stage, that my own life is not mine, that's what it means, isn't it? If kartrutva bhoktrutva has gone completely from inside, then you handed over your body, mind, intelligence, ego, and your actions, everything to Krishna. Then you don't exist anymore after that. Instantaneously, you will realize the truth. That's what Krishna is saying here. Instantaneously, if this happens, you will realize the truth. That is what in the Bhagavatam also. Sadyo hrithi avirudhyade yatra kridibi shushroshubhi talchanad. Talchanad it is. Happen instantaneously. And if it is real sharanagadi, real surrender has happened, instantaneously this realization will happen. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, that it means mrityunjayam mrityum upayiti divyam. That if you surrender to Krishna completely, mrityum upayiti divyam, at that very moment, you have escaped from death. If this sharanagati, what Krishna is talking about, has happened in this verse, which is tameva chadyam purusham prabhadye yada pravrti prasada purani, what we have spoken so far, if this sharanagati has happened, Krishna is saying that very moment you have finished with the death. There is no more death after that. You cannot experience death anymore because you don't exist. Is it not? You don't exist after that because you have handed over everything to Krishna, including that false ego, Vyakti Bodham, personality has gone. So who is there to experience death then? This is what we talk about in the Bhagavatam. That aham brahma param dama brahmaham paramam padam. Parikshita has reached that state. Kartrutva bhoktrutvam has gone, means ragadvesham has gone from inside. And body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything has been surrendered. And in that state, when he heard from, due to the presence of Shukha Brahmarshi, Sukadeva Goswami's presence, that's what has created that state. Parikshit is saying, aham brahma param dhamam, it's not just words, that there is no ahankaram to declare anymore inside that he is separate, like the way we talk about. Today we are still separate, isn't it? We have got our own identity. Why? Because ahankaram is still there. It's not surrendering. It's not surrendering. So when the surrender happens, like the way Krishna has spoken in this verse, tameva chadyam purusham prabhadye yata pravrti prasada purani. Those two lines are very important, because this is the key verse in message in that verse. Because you can see the first two lines, tadaparam tad parimargidavyam yasmin gadana nivartanti bhuyaha. First of all, Krishna is saying there that you have to inquire about that place where you don't come back again. Going and coming is the whole problem. That has to come to a stop. In order that to happen, the solution to the problem is tameva chadyam purusham prabhadye yada pravrti prasada purani. That Purana Purusha, Krishna, who is running everything outside, is running everything inside, to him you have to completely surrender, which means the body, the mind, the intelligence, including your personality, ego, Vyakti Bodham. And if it is totally surrendered, that very moment you have escaped from death, because you are not there to experience death anymore. Is it not? Who is experiencing death? Ahankaram. Or body. Body and ahankaram experiences death. Is it not? We are frightened about death. Why? Ahankaram is frightened about death. Because Shastram is telling us that we are eternal. Is it not? Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That's our identity. But in experience, it is not so. We are experiencing death. We are experiencing birth, death, old age, disease, everything. So Krishna is saying here that Sadyohrid Yavarudyade Yatra Kridabi. That is what that verse means in the Bhagavadam. Sadhyo Kridhya Varudhyade Yatra Kridabi. Shushroshubhi Talkshana. Talkshana. Instantaneously, death is over. You escape from death. Finished with everything. That is what Talkshana. I don't know how we understand that verse, because in the beginning of the Bhagavadam itself, Vedavyasa has put that, isn't it? Dharma Projila Kaidavotra Varano Nurmat Saranam Satam Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayon. See how Vedavyasa is trying to talk about the soul. It's about the soul is talking. Dharma Projila Kaidavam Atra Paramo Nurmat Saranam Satam Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayon Mulanam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrde Kimva Parei Ishwara Sadhyo Hridi Avarudhyavetra Kridibhi Shushrushubhi Talkshanad, he said. What is Talkshanad happen? Talkshanad means instantaneously. What happened instantaneously? Realize the self, that very instance, Tapatrayon Mulanam. Tapatrayam God. Tapatrayam is what? Adhyatmiyam Adhibaudhyam Adhidevigam. What does that mean? All concerned to death. Isn't it? Death, old age, disease, everything. But death is the main thing in all this. Whole underlying factor is the death. That very moment, the death is over. There is no more death after that. Because the person who has to experience the death is not there. He is gone. Is it not? That's how we are to. Those verses are very important in the Bhagavadam. Because when you go deeper into that verse, you can see what Vedavyasa is pointing out of a person who is realizing the truth, what is happening to him. That's what it is. So, that's what it is. That very moment, so if it is real surrender, then the realization, self-realization is not gradual. If it is real surrender, it's not gradual. It is not gradual. So, so those who surrendered to Krishna completely, his ego and personality is sucked out straight away. Krishna sucks it out completely from him. And then naturally amrutvam, immortality for that person. For him, there is no death afterwards. And there is no discussion anymore about death after that, isn't it? So at the very moment, if it the prapatti. So when you read that verse, you must know how important those words are. Which word? Tameva chadyam purusham prabhadyem yada pravrti prasrata purani. Those verses. you know, if you do not read these verses simply on the surface and take it, when Krishna is saying something to us, he means it. He means it. Our goal should be not to understand the translation purport, rather the spirit of that verse. Unless we surrender to Krishna, hand over everything, body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything to Krishna every moment, and that Antaryami inside, who is present in everyone, which he mentioned before, tadapadam dat parimagidavyam yasmin gadama nivartam nibhuyaha tameva chadyam purusham prabadhye yada pravarti prasada purani. There alone you have to hand over. That means constantly Antaryami Upasana. That's what it is. There's a long way to go. Constantly Antaryami Upasana. That relationship has to be built up with Antaryami. There is no other way. There is no other way. Problem will come. Initially you will complain to Antaryami, even if you have surrendered, because that is our conditioning. But a stage will come, if we start talking to Antaryami, slowly, little by little, we will come to this point, no more complaint, Antaryami is doing everything, why should I complain? This stage will also come, that will come much later. But initially, at least we have to start with this, talking to this Antaryami, which is called in the Brihadaranyaka as Antaryami Upasana. That is what it is saying there. So, Krishna is saying that if this has happened, he has completely come to the perfection stage. And what will be his situation then, one who has surrendered like that? And that is the next verse, if you look. See how they are connected to each other? Each verse is connected to the earlier one in a very spiritual way. Completely in a spiritual level it's connected. We have to know that link. Do not quote the individual verses here and there and say, this is it, this is it. No. If you want to quote the next verse, you have to know the previous verse based on which the next verse is constructed. Look at the next verse. It's a famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Nirmana moha jidasanga dosha.
Nirmana moha jidasanga dosha.
Adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama.
Adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama.
Dundvair vimukta sukadukka samyer.
Dundvair vimukta sukadukka samyer.
Gacchandya muda padam avyayam tad.
Gacchandya muda padam avyayam tad.
Nirmana moha jidasanga dosha.
Nirmana moha jidasanga dosha.
Adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama.
Adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama.
Dundvair vimukta sukadukka samyer.
Dundvair vimukta sukadukka samyer.
Gacchandya muda padam avyayam tad.
Gacchandya muda padam avyayam tad.
Nirmana moha jidasanga dosha adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama dundvair vimukta sukham dukham samir gachandi amudha padam avyayam tad. One who is free from illusion, false prestige, false association, who understands the eternal, who is done with material lust and is freed from the duality of happiness and distress, and who knows how to surrender unto the Supreme Person, attains to that eternal kingdom. That is of course the translation of the verse. But you can see, before you come to this verse, you must fully understand the previous verses. In what background this verse has spoken. This verse is the final result of all what was spoken before. You see that previously Krishna said, talked about the tree, Ashwatha tree. Then he spoke about how to cut the tree. Asanga Shastrena Vridena Chitva. Once you cut the tree, what will happen? Then that means your self-inquiry will become strengthened. We think that just by preaching the whole world will become spiritual, isn't it? It was not going to become spiritual in that way. That's why. That's some misunderstanding in our head. So, first of all, we have to recognize this tree existing. Then you have to cut the tree. How to cut the tree? Krishna has spoken. Asanga Shastrena Dhridena Chitva. Isn't it? Once you have cut the tree, then only after that, this inquiry will become very strengthened inside. Which inquiry? Inquiry of the truth, of the vastu, or satyam, or vastu. Satyam varam dhimahi, as Bhagavatam says. That self-inquiry will become very strong once you have cut that tree. Otherwise, it won't happen. And once that inquiry begins, then you will know that final destination is this, that I don't go and come has to stop first. It's not that I go somewhere else and reach there, no. What will happen is right here in this body, I will realize that this going coming is not my nature. Going coming is for the mind and the body and the intelligence and ego. It's not for me. Awareness, abhodham, there is no coming going. So coming going, we will inquire about, you will realize that coming going is going to stop and that is my real state. Coming going stops. Tadapadam dat parimargidavyam ismin gadana nivartanti bhuyaha. That's what that realization. Krishna is saying, once you have come to that stage, then the next thing will be that you will know that your ahankaram has to die first. That ego inside me has to die. And the only way it can die is that, as Krishna said there, tameva chadyam purusham pravati yasmin yada pravati prasada purani. That's the solution to that problem. So, if you have surrendered in that way, like the way Krishna has spoken there, itameva chadyam purusham prapadye tada pravarti prasrada purani. If you have surrendered in the way Krishna has spoken there, then you have reached the destination, and the destination is what is spoken there. Nirmana moha jidasanga doshaha adhyalpa nityam vinivutta kamaha dundvair vimukta sukha dukkha samyer. Gacchandya mooda padam avyayam tha. So famous words in the Bhagavad Gita. So, padam avyayam tal padam gacchandi. Padam avyayam tal padam gacchandi. Krishna is saying there, he has reached that place where he doesn't have to return again. He has got there, that state. Yes? Because in his realization it has happened. Don't look at the physical body where it is. In his realization, it has happened. And Gachandi, he says there, Gachandi. Gachandi. So, that Gachandi. That Gachandi Amuda Padam. Avayam tat. He mentions here, Nirmana moha, manaha, cha moha, cha mana moha, to nirgado yebhyate, nirmana moha. Mana moha varjidaha, jidasanga doshaha, sanga eva doshaha, sanga dosha jidaha, sanga dosham, yeite jidasanga dosha, adhyalpa nitya, paramalpa surubalojane nitya talparaha, vinivrta kamaha. Visheshado nirlepena nivrtaha kamaha yeshante vinivrta kamaha yata yaha sanyasinaha dvandvai priya apriyadivi vimuktaha sukhadukka samyehi parityaktva gacchandi amuda mohavarjidaha padam avyayam tad yathoktam. So this verse this Gachandi Amuda Padam Avayam Tat. Here you can see that this Gachandi, normally we take it, go somewhere. Liberation for us is like that, isn't it? At the moment, I'm saying. We are thinking liberation means I leave this world and I go somewhere else where everything is set up in the way I want it. This is our conception at the moment. But that Gachandi Avagati, it is not that. It is actually recognizing it in yourself here, now. Here, now itself. Because that truth, what you are looking for, is right now here, inside us. At this very moment, is there. So, there is no question of going somewhere or coming back from there, all these things. There's nothing to go and nothing to come. It's already there in us. So, but when you speak in the language, it will say Gachandi. If you take the literal meaning of that word Gachandi, you'll start that you have to go somewhere else to get it. There is no way of going anywhere, isn't it? So this state, Gachandi, actually means that no more coming going. Coming going has stopped. That's all it is. Because it's pure consciousness we are talking about, isn't it? So Nirmana Moha Jidasanga Doshaha Adhyatma Vidya Vinivurta Kamaha. Krishna is saying that, isn't it? Nirmanam, Mana Moham. Mana means what? Ego. Mana means ego. Nirmana means complete ego has gone from the person. From the person, ego has gone completely. So, that means he is no more identifying with the body. Ego is there because we are identifying with the body, isn't it? Once you are not identifying with the body anymore, then there is no more ego left. Ego is due to identification with the body. I am this body. That's what ego means, isn't it? So, Nirmana Moham this manam, Krishna talked about that before. Amanitam adambitam. Remember? Manam, Krishna has spoken there also. So, what does manam actually means? Something which is unlimited, when you make it into a limited state, that's called manam. For example, consciousness is unlimited. Pure it is, and it is present everything. But due to our avidya, ajnanam in us, we make it localized and thinking that I am somebody, identification with the body. Along with that, I have the false ego in me. Because of that, I feel this identification with the body. Because of the false ego in me. That's why I feel identification with the body, isn't it? So, manam means the unlimited consciousness. I have cut that into a small piece and put it in me, in the form of this body, and I identify with that body. With that, manam comes. Nirmana moha means that is gone. That what we call it as the parichinatum. In the Vedanta, what's the word they use? Parichinatum means akhandatum is our pure consciousness. You cut that into pieces and you make it into small, that is parichinatum. So parichinnatvam goes away, akhandatvam comes back. Our pure consciousness is unlimited. Tam sarvabhuta hridayam munimanatosmi. Like Shobhra Maharshi's life. Present everywhere. I am not limited to this body alone. But today I am thinking, I am only limited to this body. This has to go from inside. And once you leave that, that is called nirmanam. That nirmana moham. Due to moham, illusion, it has happened. Due to illusion, I have identified with the small body and I am thinking I am in this body, I am limited to this body. I don't recognize that I have anything to do with anybody else. It's only me, 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 me all the time. When that me, me goes away from inside, that is called Nirmana Moham. Nirmana Moham. Because when I have identification with the body, I make everything limited to me. Is it not? I cannot take into account anybody else. So you can see from this, when we don't accept this Bhagavad Gita's principle, that is the cause of all the problems of this world. Is it not? Vastu, Krishna is saying there is only me in this creation, Krishna. Nothing else. When Krishna says me, he means the Atma only exists here. But that Atma, due to our jnanam inside avidya, we have cut that into small, small units. And we identify with that body as we are, and then we have problems. Then ragam, dvesham, kartrutam, boktrutam, everything happens in that. So Krishna is saying here, nirmana moha jidasanga dosha. So, so unlimited vastu, that vastu which is unlimited, which is pure consciousness, atma, when you make that parichinnam and making it smaller, the name of that is called manam. It is called manam. And when you start sticking to that small vastu what you have made out of, it is called mayam. Manam and mayam. So, and so this manam and mayam. Mayam means this sticking to this manam. Manam is this process that you made that vastu which is present in everything. One vastu, atma, you make it parichinam by cutting that and making, thinking that it is only in this body. And you identify with that body in that way, that is called mayam. So, after that, what happens is, we start feeling only then when you lose your all-pervasiveness, when your presence in everything, when you lose that, when you become identified with a small unit like the body, then only manam, avamanam comes. Praise and insult is affected then, is it not? Somebody praises you, you feel that you have praised me. Somebody insults you, you feel you have insulted me. Why? Because I am identifying with this limited thing in me. Limited thing. Actually, you can't praise anybody. You can't insult anybody. Because there is only one vastu present there. Who is going to insult whom? So you can see, dvandvam create these two problems. Manam, avamanam. From dvandvam it comes. So that is why Krishna mentions in that, parasvabhava karmani ye prashamsadi ye nindadi. So ashubhrashade swarthal asatyam vaniveshada. You are already speaking from a false level, everything. Krishna is saying that in the Bhagavadam to Uddhava, isn't it? So what I have done is, the vastu which is unlimited, Atma, I have started thinking it's a small thing present inside me. So that is why when we take this spiritual inquiry also, you must be always conscious that this is only the place where we indicate Hrit, where Krishna manifests there, Ahankaram also manifests there, but that is only for our inquiry purposes. In reality, that is not the truth. He is present in everything, and that is one vastu who is present in everyone, in all living entities, where living or non-living doesn't matter, it's only Krishna exists, isn't it? So, and once you have identified in that way, that manam, avamanam starts developing inside, identifying with the body, and naturally what will happen is, once you identify with the body, this bodily identity will create more problems. That grows on its own, isn't it? You can see how bodily identity develops it later on into other false identities. I start thinking I'm a rich man, or I'm a king, or I'm a minister, I'm a president, or I'm a man, I'm beautiful, I am healthy. All are superimposed identities on this manam, in my limited consciousness, which I have already made a big mistake. By identifying with a small, thinking that I am a small consciousness stuck in this body, I made the first mistake. Secondly, with that what happened to me was, identification with the body has increased. With bodily identification, I built up on that further adhyasam, or identification on top of that. So Krishna is saying here that in this identification, abhimanam develops in various levels. I am a brahmana, I am a scholar, and I am a woman, I am beautiful, I am an engineer, I am a doctor. These are all identifications on top of this body identity, bodily identity. In another words, they call, use this word as adhyaryobam or adhyasam. They use that word in the adhyaryobam. So adhyaryobam will keep on increasing. That is the problem. If you identify with that limited in the way, the truth, if you bring it into limited form, into the body, and thinking that I am that limited consciousness, because first mistake is you have cut the big supreme consciousness into small consciousness. That's the first mistake. Once you identify with that, then you will start identifying with the body. Once you identify with the body, this adhyasam or adhyayobam will build up, and all other false identities will be built up on top of that, and your false personality, ahangaram, will grow big. And it will become a heavy weight on us. So, once that weight goes away, we will become very light. So, what happens is, when you do the Sharanagari, what Krishna has spoken about in the previous verse, we become nothing. So, because when we completely make that surrender, as Krishna mentioned, Tameva chadyam purusham prapadye. That is the fire of that, power of that words. Tameva chadyam purusham prapadye. As soon as you do that, we become nothing. We become nothing. Krishna completely swallows us. Krishna completely swallows us. Really swallows us. So, in there, me, that personality is not powerful anymore. Personality has gone away from inside. I am only a machine. Krishna is the operator after that. And so that is why Krishna is, from then on, everything is Krishna. No more me not doing anything. Me, kartrutva boktrutvam has gone completely. Everything has gone. Ragadvesham has gone. Kartrutva boktrutvam has gone. Like the state where Prahlada was. That is that state what Krishna is talking about. So when your personality has completely dissolved, then that is what is called Nirmana Moha. Nirmana Moha. The first word. Nirmana Moha means no personality. No personality. So, Moham. Moham is what? Moham is this. What is our Moham? Illusion is this. That at the moment I am thinking, this ahankaram or false ego in me is the truth. I am thinking like that. Is it not? This is my ajnanam or avidya. And this avidya, in Shastra they call it as Mula Avidya. Mula Avidya. Mula Avidya means root, the very root of all ignorance. The first root ignorance is that, the root ignorance, because this is the basic deep root on which all other avidyas builds up. That is this avidya. That ahankaram is me. And that they call it as primal ignorance, in other words, primal ignorance. So, I am keeping this in me all the time. Which one? This false ego in me, personality. And it is keeping this personality, I am inquiring about Brahman, I am inquiring about Ishvara, I am inquiring about Krishna. Keeping this ignorance in me. So you have to remember that when we are doing these spiritual activities also, how much in ignorance we are doing it. That's what you have to know. We just take it as a job, isn't it? I've been told to chant 16 rounds, I've done it. Now what? That's my attitude. What's now? Where has it reached? That is useless. Because this ajnanam in me is so deep-rooted that I'm thinking that this my sadhana, oh, upasana, anishtana, whatever we call it, is also I'm doing. And as long as that is what the thinking, and I'm thinking that this is a real thing. Which one? This me in me. This me, I am, hangaram inside, is a real one. I take it as it's a real thing, and with the power of that, I'm doing my sadhana, and I'm inquiring about Krishna, with that ego inside, isn't it? So, so that is why Mahatmas give this example. When you are doing adhyatma sadhana also, it's like the thief dressed up like the police, searching for the thief. Thief has dressed up like the police. In a village, some house, the some lot of jewelry was stolen. The police came. So the man who has stolen, he has also joined them looking for the thief, the one who has done it. So how will that be? Where will that inquiry reach? Where will that get to? It's the same mistake we are doing in our sadhana also. Without surrender, all our sadhana is just like, it's going on. Just like when we say, how are you? Not too bad. It will be like that. Our sadhana also will be like that. Because there is no surrender there, you see. That's why Sharanagati is the key factor in the bhakti. All our bhakti sadhana or jnana sadhana, everything is dependent on that surrender. So, similarly you can see here that so in one instance, this is a very, very finer thing in us, which operating all the time, which we are not conscious of. All the time we are thinking, I'm doing so many things in spiritual life, but why is not happening? Why is not happening? Why is not happening? All the time we are inquiring also. Sometimes when you get very frustrated after many years of sadhana, people get frustrated at the end. Why? Why do they get frustrated? Because this, that ahankaram has not gone. Sadhana was there, but ahankaram hasn't gone. That is why in the 6th or 7th chapter, Krishna is saying, Janamarana mokshaya mama ashrute yatandiye. Everything when you do, if you have not taken my shelter, then it is a bit difficult for that to happen. That's why our sadhana goes on for life after life because of this. Because this sarana hasn't happened. So that is why it mentions like this, that like the thief is inquiring about the who was stolen with the police, he has joined the police in inquiring. In the same way, we are doing the sadhana, but we don't want to give up the ahankaram inside. False ego is still there. That's the problem. So many years ago, before about 50, 60 years ago, there was one sannyasi, Rajeshwarananda, a famous sannyasi was at that time. Him and Chimayananda Swamiji and a few others, they were all in Tirunamalai with Ramana Maharshi. In one instance, they were discussing this. So Rajeshwarananda used to run a magazine called Divine something, Divine Light or something like that, some magazine. You can get the copy still there. So they were all completely affected by Ramana Maharshi's personality there. And they said to him that it's no good if you just stay in Tirunamalai like this. Should we not propagate this knowledge of the self, what you are experiencing and you are manifesting that through you all the time. And this Brahmanishtha, this state of consciousness what you had, let others also get the benefit from that. So should we not propagate this, they said to him. So his reply was very interesting. Ramana Maharshi says to them that, he says to him, yes, yes, we have to propagate, he says. Says in a very funny way. The moment you realize that the person who thinking he wants to propagate, if he disappears, that's the best propagation, he said. That's how he answered that. Just see the subtlety of that question and the answer. Question is very much mundane, isn't it? Because we always think like this, oh, if you propagate everything, everybody will get the benefit. No, spiritual life, it's not like that. When the person who wants to propagate, if that desire inside, who is the one who wants to propagate? The ahankaram inside. If the ahankaram in him, the person who thinks he wants to propagate, if he himself disappears, that is the best propagation in this world. That is the best, because then he is the best example in this world for having realized the truth. Is it not? Because he is in this state. Nurmana moha jita sangha doshaha adhyalpa nitya vinivrtta kamaha. What Krishna is saying there. Dvandva air vimukta. Because dvandvam has gone from him. Sukha dukkha samyirga chandya moda padam avyayam tad. He has reached that state. That is the best propagation. Not all the you can hire all the newspapers and put the advertisement on that. You can use all the television stations to propagate, radio stations, everything you can do, it will have no effect. But this will have the effect on the people. It is a one person like that who lives in this world, in this state, he is the best propagation. There is no doubt about that. Is it not? Common sense tells you that. Whereas our mind normally goes in this direction. Oh, I should propagate immediately. That's what these three personalities were there at that time. Rajeshwarananda, Chinmayananda and I don't know who third person. There were three of them were asking this question to Maharshi. Maharshi's answer was like this. He said, yes, we have to propagate. But the way to propagate, he said, if the person who is thinking that he has to propagate, if he disappears, then that is the best propagation. That's it. That comes from a person who is internal, not from a person from the outside. Outside person will always say, yes, yes, propagate, propagate. So that is that. So what has happened is that this propagation also, that's also another manifestation of the ego inside, that it has to happen inside. So once that completely disappears from inside, then natural way propagation will happen. He gives the example that if a drop of honey falls somewhere, you don't have to invite the ants to come.
Mm-hmm.
They know it's there, mm-hmm. honey is there, isn't it? Sugar or honey. If you leave something somewhere, they will all, you'll see they'll come in a queue one after the other. The formation, how disciplined and how well organized they are. They arrive at the spot. Nobody has informed them, isn't it? Nobody has informed them. So, similarly, real spiritual realization happens to a person in a natural way, others will be attracted to that spot. So, at the moment, we have this concept that I have a lot of things to do in this world, special things to do, and we are one personality, I have to do all these things, and this is causing this identification so strongly in all of us, isn't it? And so that will only create a lot of ego. Ego will come out from that. And you will also start thinking that I have to turn the whole world upside down. This desire will come if you become a mega guru. You start thinking the whole world is looking to me to take the goal into the direction. All these thoughts will happen in big people, in big gurus. So then they say, oh, my guru has constructed a 16-story building, ashram there. And once it is completed, the whole world is going, the disciples will start beating the drums then. They'll start telling the world that, you know, my spiritual master has done this. So the whole world is going to change. And then after this work is completed, we are going to preach all over the world, turn the whole world upside down. So all this is what Krishna calls it as moham. Nirmana moha. Once moham is there, this all illusion will be in him. So, you can see this, you have to look at this very carefully. How many incarnations have come before? And what all things have happened in this world? Has anything changed in the world? Incarnations have come, incarnations have gone. World is still going on. Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, those three modes are still present here. Is it not? In this very world, those three modes still exist. So that is why they say that we have to come out of this illusion that we can change this world. It cannot be done. So they give the example like the Karma Yogam, we say sometimes, I'm doing Karma Yogam, in that process I'll start thinking that it's just like the tail of the dog. You put the pipe on the tail, and only at that time it will straighten. As soon as you pull the pipe out, the tail goes back. So, but there is one benefit from that. What's that benefit? When you start removing this bend in the tail, in that process, all the crookedness inside my mind will go. That's all. The crookedness inside my mind will go. And once it is gone, you should know where to leave it also. Where to leave it also. Because the world has to be like this. Only then those who are coming in the future, so they can change it. You have to keep them also busy. Isn't it? If this whole world gets rectified, what will happen to all the future ones then? Because there will always be people who are looking for spiritual life and who will be looking for truth. So this world is a good place for them to start with. To work on the world, and then eventually they have to get frustrated. All this is what Krishna mentions as moham, that moham there. So anywhere, if we get attached or our attention falls on anywhere excluding the self, that is what is called moham. If our attention is not on the soul, Atma, anywhere else if attention falls, it's called moham. That's why Krishna is saying nirmana moha jidasanga doshaha. So once this moham leaves us one after the other, attention will start serious about satyam, the truth. And in order to do that, why does that happen? Why this moham has happened? Because of what? Sangha. sangam. That's the next word you can say. No mana moha jida sanga dosha. From sangam, moham has happened. That's where moham has come. Is it not? Due to sangam only. Is it not? If you analyze, you can see. We live in the society. Due to association with the society, picked up all the filth from the society. And we started worshipping that society. Accepting the society's values. Society's glories. And become, this is the, what is called the sangam. So Krishna is saying, mamana moha jada sangha dosha. Sangha dosham is there. Even if you don't have it, the society will create inside you. And like we say the children, isn't it? The children we say, be ambitious, we say. If he's not ambitious, you make him ambitious. Make his life hell. And then poor man, whole silent. And then he will do the same thing to his children also. And this way this thing world will go on. So they will also realize very soon this all this ambition is a headache. It's nothing but it's only going to make life hell. But we won't let them go because we have fallen into the same pit. So let him also fall into it. We have fallen into it anyway. Let him also. So one person is not enough. The whole world is collectively in this mutual hypnotism. That's what's going on in the whole world, isn't it? So, so one person will tell the other person. In the Srimad Bhagavatam you see that there is a verse about that. It says, people mutually give blessings. Give blessings. Materialists particularly. They'll say like this. Whatever they have experienced and suffered in this world, they will say, you also let them have all of that, what I had. We all do that, isn't it? One young child goes to his grandmother and asks the grandmother, paid obeisances, everything, and told the grandmother that I'm going away. He has grown up and he finished his school education, everything, and then he's going to work in the city. So he told the grandmother, bless me that everything will go very well with me. So the grandmother says to him, you go, work very hard, let Krishna give you all the strength to work hard, earn a lot of money and live very happily in this world. Even old people give this kind of blessings to people. So, and says to him, you should become a big person in this world. So, they have seen this big person in this world enough, what it means, isn't it? So, whatever they have suffered, they want him also to suffer. This is called moha. Krishna is saying about that word moham, nirmana moha. So it is not easy to come out of all these things. These are all different links of that chain of what is called moham. And this is a big topic, isn't it? This thing called moham. If you start discussing this, it's a big topic. How we are all fallen into that pit and stuck in that pit, unable to come out from that. So Krishna is saying here, once it happens, nirmana moha jidasanga doshaha, that means only Krishna is the truth, everything else is false. This will be that state. Because in this verse is talking about that state, what it will be. At that state, nirmana moha jidasanga doshaha, that because he has realized that Krishna is the only truth and everything else remains as false, is lie. Everything else is a lie. Lie means, does not mean you have to still do your vyavaharam in this world, isn't it? You can't stop the vyavaharam because of that. He will do the vyavaharam, but he knows how far the vyavaharam has to go. Vyavaharam has to go. And you can imagine this, even if you say vyavaharam, vyavaharam, how long this body will last? How long this body will last? 60 years, 70 years it may last. And if you're thinking that way, you will know that you will get an idea that this vyavaharam is going to come to an end with that. And how much can you do within this body? After a certain time in life, what can you do with this body? You can't do very much about it. isn't it? They give the example, when you are cooking some vegetables, you put the spices, everything in the pot, and all the vegetables, potatoes, onion, potatoes, carrots, and so many other things in there. And when spices are put into it and the fire is on, you will see the vegetables coming up and down inside the pot. In the same way, this is our body. It is jumping up and down here and it goes away one day from this world. As soon as you stop the fire from the bottom, the whole thing stops, isn't it? Vegetables don't jump up and down anymore after that. That is the moham. So moham is this: if I'm not here, nothing will go on properly in this world. That's the moham. That is the moham, particularly for householders. Particularly for householders. Because this moham comes mostly to householders. Because householders will think, duty, duty, duty. He will keep chatting this world. Duty, duty. And if I'm not there, what will happen? Whole family will go into trouble, will start thinking like that. So, if you get that too much, if you are feeling affected by that duty business, too much, one day you walk out of the house for a few months, goes away, 3 or 4 months. And then you come back after that, you will see things were going much better at home and you are not there. And you will realize that you were the cause of all the problems in the house. That realization will come to you at that time. So that's how it is. This is, we are falsely thinking so many things in our mind. It's because I'm not there, what will happen, what will happen. But reality is like this. So that is what Krishna is saying here, that it is not true that our presence is making everything happen, because we have nothing to contribute here. So here, Krishna is saying here, where will it go in order that to happen? Jita Sangha Doshaha. Due to Sangha Dosham, this has happened. Krishna is saying here that Sangam has to go of the society. Because society is what creates this in us. This deep duty consciousness has been created by the society. Nobody else. Is it not? Particularly, it has been by the society makes it happen. So, that is why he said, Sal Sangat Mukta Dussangat Mulsahade Puman. So that is why only through association of devotees, jnanis, and persons who are in the spiritual path, their association will help to come out of this dosham, this defect. So, or those who have that discrimination power in them. And if you hear in their association, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam again and again, that ignorance that is inside us will little by little get cut off, sliced off. That hangaram inside us, which we have developed from the society, that hangaram will be sliced off piece by piece if you continuously hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. That's the only way to come out of it. There's no other way. Whereas if you constantly associate with the society, society will build it up further and further. This is where association comes. That constantly listening to Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's instructions, Uddhava, Arjuna, all these things, what it does is, this ahankaram inside, which has grown big over several lifetimes, which has become very powerful inside, that personality inside, it has to become very light. And now to make it light, the only way it can be done is, you have to slice it off, piece by piece. Through distress in life on the one side, and on the other side through knowledge. Through the knowledge, because it's constant reminder all the time. Krishna is saying, this verse is, Dharmana Moha, Jita Sangha Dosha, Adhyatma Nityam. That's why he's saying that, Adhyatma Nityam, always be established in the Adhyatma, in spiritual life. Vinivrta Kamaha. What will happen is all desires will also leave from inside. And all these things combined together, which one? Moham, Sangam, Kamam. All of them together is the Ajnanam inside, Avidya inside us. And that will go. That will, because all these things will go in Salsangam, one after the other. When you keep on hearing this, the message will start working from inside. You will start seeing things in the proper way in the world. Falsely identifying with the body and falsely accepting things from the society and feeling shelter in the society, in the money, in the family. All these things has to once for all disappear from inside. So, it may not go in one lot, but little by little it will go away from inside. And when that constantly goes away, it starts going away, mukta dusangaha. Because it is due to dusangam. Dusangam means due to false, bad association that this ahankaram has grown inside. Due to bad association. And it's like a germ, that one. And in salsangam, you get the germ of knowledge. Knowledge germ instead of the dusangam germ. And without our knowledge, once it gets in, this bacteria of dusangam, that will go away, disappears from inside. What is present inside us is in the form of lust, anger, greed and all these things. And knowledge will remove that from inside. That is what Krishna is saying here. Jida sanga doshaha. So, sanga dosham is this, that we develop this ahangaram strongly inside. Sanga dosham, that is. Jida sanga dosha means all the sangha dosham gets removed in salsangam. That is jada sangha dosha. Through salsangam, what will happen is, it will slice off. Ahankaram is like a mountain standing there inside us, isn't it? Depending on the power of the ahankaram, we behave in the full of ego inside. But if it keeps on slicing it off in various ways through shastram, by hearing in the salsangam, that gets sliced off. And eventually you can see there, that state comes, jidasanga doshaha. Dosham, all the defects of due to sangam, what has happened, will leave that person. Will leave that person. That is what mentioned, salsangatve, nisangatva. From salsangam comes nisangam. Nisangatve, nirmohatva. From nisangam, nisangada comes from salsangam. Remember that verse? So yeah, nisangada. It leads into nirmohato. Moha means illusion. All these falsities. Ahankaram inside. I am this, I am that. All kinds of false understanding. I am running this, I am doing this, I am doing that. This is all moham it is. Nirmana moha. So, salsangatve nisangatvam. Nisangatve nirmohatvam. Nirmohatvam. And when nirmohatvam stage comes, if this here Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's message, you will be established in the truth, that is called Nishchala Tattva. Fully established in the Tattva. Salsangatve Nisangatvam, Nisangatve Nirmohatvam. Nirmohatve Nishchala Tattva. That is when the knowledge of the self will have its direct influence on the person. It will have a direct effect on someone. And Brahmavidya, that is what it is. Nishchala Tattva Jivan Mukti. At that time, he is released from this bondage. So, I think Scott Polka will have a short time. Chedo darpanam arjanam mava mahada vagni nirvavanam shreya kaidava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradivada purna amrita swadanam sarvatna suvanam varam vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam Namnamakari Bahudani Jasarva Shakti Tatrapti Dane Midas Maranena Kala Eda Drishita Vakriva Bhagavan Mumadi Dudeva Midrashami Hajani Nanuraga Pranana Jishami Jaina Taravaravi Sahishuna Amani Namana Dena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nadhanam janam sundarim kavidam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani shvare bhavada bhakti ahe dugitvaye Ay nandatanu jagingaram patitamam shame bhavambudo kripaya tava pada pangajastika duli sadrisham vichindayam Nirmangala shudharaya padanam gadgadarubhaya gira Pulagaya nijinam kadavahu tavannama grahane bhavishyadim
चक्षुषा प्राविशाइदं शून्याइदं जगत्सर्वं गोविन्द विरहे न मे अशिष्यवा पादरदां प्रणश्तुमं अदर्शनं महदां करोतु वा यथा तथा वा विदधा विलम्बनो प्राणनाथास्तु नैव नापरा निर्माणमोहा हितसङ्गदोषाः अध्यात्मनित्या विनिवृत्तकामाः द्वन्द्वैर्विमुक्ता सुखदुःखसंज्ञे गच्छन्त्यमूढा पदम् अव्ययम् तत्। सो हियर कृष्ण सेज़ फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल मोहम हैज़ टू गो मोहम फ्रॉम मोहम मानम हैज़ कम सो निर्माण मोह When moham goes away, manam goes away, nirmanam comes. Then, jida sangha doshaha, how did this moham comes? Due to sangam. Sangha dosham it is. So, one who has come out of sangam, sangha dosham has gone. That means, dusangam has gone, sorry, sangam has come into the life. Jida sangha doshaha. So, then he says here that when moham goes away, Jidasanga doshaham. When Sangam goes away, what does Sangam? Sangam means that Krishna says here that Sangam, suppose we have ragam, attachment towards anything. If there is ragam towards other objects or persons in this world, that when Sangam goes away, ragam also goes away. That's the way it works. Sangam creates ragam. Sangam creates ragam. So, if you have sangam towards satyam, satyavastu means alma. If we have sangam with alma, our ragam with asatyavastu, asatyavastu means the society, everything is asatyavastu here, isn't it? Society is asatyam, family is asatyam, body itself is asatyam, asatyavastu it is. So once we have this sangam creates ragam. When you come out, sangam means dusangam always. Generally when we say sangam, it's dusangam. Otherwise it will be meant spoken salsangam, we will say. Normally if you say, just say sangam, it means dusangam. So due to sangha dosham, or dusangam, ragam happened, attachment to all the anitya vastu, temporary things, like the society, like the feeling shelter in the money, in the body, in the family. All these are due to dusangam. So jita sang, that is what is called sangha dosham, defects due to sangam. Bad sangam, dusangam. So Krishna says that jida sangha doshaha, sangha dosham will go with that ragam also will go. Ragam is the attachment, isn't it? So sangha dosham goes away, ragam also goes away. If you have sangam towards satyavastu, which is alma, Krishna, soul, whatever it is, the anitya vastu, asatya vastu, ragam will go. If you have ragam towards satya vastu, ragam towards asatya vastu will leave us. And that is why that important words in the Bhagavad Gita, many times you have to chew it and chew that words. Na sado vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. Ubhayorami drishtvandam stanayor tattva darshivi. That is the key words in the Bhagavad Gita on which the whole Bhagavad Gita philosophy is built up. It's built upon that. So, so Krishna is saying to us, separate the sat and asat first. Separate the sat and asat. If you do that, whether you have separated them, sat and asat separately, whether you knew that this is sat or this is asat, whether you knew or you didn't know about it, what really exists is only sat. Sat alone exists. Asat doesn't exist.
The nature of asat is it has no existence. It has no existence. When we say it has no existence means it can manifest and go. It cannot stay. Sat alone can stay in this world. So that is why with the asat, whether you have developed a relationship with asat or if you have not developed any relationship with the asat, the nature of the asat is it will disappear. With the sat, whether you have developed a relationship with sat or not developed any relationship with sat, sat will stay. Do you see that difference? With the asat, whether you have developed a relationship or you have not developed a relationship, it will disappear. With the sat, whether you have developed a relationship or you have not developed a relationship, it will stay. If you look into Bhagavatam, this is what Angiras Maharshi told Chitraketu. Remember? When Chitraketu said in the sixth canto, when Chitraketu's son died, isn't it? That baby was born after a long... everybody knows the story about Chitraketu's. It mentions like this, that the... you should have seen Chitraketu's mood at that time. And Angiras talking to Chitraketu, 15, 6, 15, 20, all those words is that, that means starting from 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. So 17 to 26, 10 verses, Angiras Maharshi is talking to, you know the story, everybody knows the story, I suppose. That Chitraketu had a son born after a long big blessing from Angiras and Narada Maharshi and all that. And Angiras and Narada Maharshi told Chitraketu, give up this attachment. Give up this attachment because it is asat. This to have a son, to have a child and all that. Chitraketu says to Angiras, man, that you can say all that, but my problem only I understand, you don't know about it, and all kinds of argument he was putting forward. Finally, what happened? Angiras understood, it's no point in talking to him Brahmavidya at this stage, when somebody is like that. When we are so attached to something, no matter what you say to him, it won't go inside. It will not work inside. So what he did was, he told him, yes, you can have the son. But this son will give you happiness and a lot of distress also at the end. So he had the son. Son was born, Kridhadiri and Chitraketu, they looked after the baby well, and then finally his wives, he had many wives, 10 million says Bhagavatam. Can you imagine a man with a 10 million wives? So anyway, what happened was that the other wives poisoned the child and the child died. And then after the death of the child, Angiras and Narada Maharshi comes to see the king. Both were devastated. Both Chitraketu and Kridhadyuti. They were devastated completely with the death of the child. So at that time, Angiras says, Chitraketu wanted to hear from Angiras, why this has happened to me. Can you do something about this child to give birth, life back to it again? And so Narada Maharshi decided to understood that. Angiras spoke to him. Angiras says to him, I have come to tell you this, the same thing what I am going to tell you now, I come to tell you before, but you won't listen. Angiras is saying this to them, you won't listen. Tadaivade param yanam dadami grahama agada. I came here to your house before to say the same thing. Yatva anyabhinivesham te putrameva dadavaham. You had this problem, what was that? I mentioned that before, anyabhinivesham. Anyabhinivesham is one of kind of avidya inside us. That means we got attached to something and no matter what you tell me, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm right. I'm attached to this child. I want the child. That means you hold on to something and you say that I want it. I'm not making any concession on that. Suppose somebody comes and tells you that it is wrong to be get attached like that to anybody and you will feel distress and all that. Doesn't matter. I'll still be attached to it. That is called anyabhinivesham. This anyabhinivesham is in all our life. We get attached to somebody like that. sometimes to the parents, sometimes to the children. This is all a problem. That is called anyavinivesham. We know that it is wrong to be attached to anybody in this world. There is no meaning to it. It is completely false, it is. But still, due to attachment, we think that we have, I'm strongly attached. People say sometimes like that, I'm very attached to somebody, they say. And they think, take it that it's a kind of a qualification or something. It's not a good qualification to get attached anywhere. So that is what Krishna, Anginas says to him, that was called anyabhinivesham. So you had that anyabhinivesham, knowing that you had that anyabhinivesham, te putram eva dadamaham, that you are so attached to having a child, I gave you the child, he says to him. Athuna putranam tavo bhavadaivanubhuyade evam dara grihamayo griharayo vividham aishwarya sambadaha. He says, now what has happened? Angiras is saying to him, Athuna putranam tavo bhavadaivanubhuyade evam dara griharayo vividham aishwarya sambadaha. Everything I have given you, that all kinds of opulences, vividha aishwarya sambadaha, everything you have got. What else you have got? Shabdadayascha vishaya chala rajya vibhudayaha mahi rajyam belam kosham vrityam amatyam suhrul janaha. You got everything. Who? The king. Chitrakedu had everything. What all? Shabdadayascha vishayascha vishayascha chala rajya vibhudaya. All kinds of opulences. And mahi rajyam belam kosham vratya amatya suhrul janaha. Then he says to him, Sarvevi Shura Seneme Shoka Moha Bhaya Artidaha. What have they all done to you? They have created more and more distress for you in life. Remember this, he says to the king, Gandharva Nagara Prakya Swapna Maya Manorathaha. This, what you are actually enjoying here is Gandharva Nagaram. Gandharva Nagara Prakyaha. Gandharva Nagara means it's like a thing in your imagination. Something in your imagination it is, that you think that you are enjoying all these things, aren't you? He says, Gandharva Nagara Prakhyaha, Swapnam Maya Manoratham. It is dream, it is Maya, and it is mental chariot. You are enjoying in your mind all these things, thinking that I've got all these servants, all the huge palace, so many wives, and so much opulences. Now I've got a son as well, to add to all. All this is, he is saying, Gandharva Navara Prakhya Swapnamaya Manoratham. This is what it is. So to know this world in that way, that is what Bhagavatam is expecting from us. And you will see this same statement in many other places in the Bhagavatam. To keep looking at this world, Gandharva Nagaram it is. Gandharva Nagaram means Gandharva's world. Imaginary world for us, isn't it? Gandharva's world is different. They enjoy life in a, always Gandharvas are in a very happy state. Gandharvas are a species who are a very happy species. They always sing, dance, enjoying life. This is their life, Gandharvas. So we are imagining all that here, sitting here in this human body. So that's why it's called Gandharva Nagaram. You create Gandharva's world here in us now. That's what we are doing now. We are trying to think like that. So Gandharva Nagara Prakhya Swapnam Maya Manorathaha. But not in reality, in the swapnam, in the dream, in the influence of Maya and in the mind. That's where my Gandharva Nagaram I have created. Drishyamana vinarthena na drishyande manobhavaha karma bhirde ayado nana karmani manaso abhavan. Karma, that is what is happening in us, is drishyamana vinarthena na drishyande manobhavaha. I'm doing a lot of karma and thinking that from this karma I am expecting all this happiness and various kinds of karma vir dhyayato nana karmani manaso abhavan. Always meditating on the different activities what I am doing here for my happiness. Nana karmani manaso abhavan. In various activities mind is getting absorbed in that. I am hi dehino deham dravya jnana kriyatmakaha dehino vivita klesha sandhava krudu udahrada. Tasman sustena manasa vimursha gadi malmana dvaide druvartha vishramam tejam upashamam avisha. This is the final recommendation to him from Angiras to Chitrakedu. He says to him that So for a child who is dead, you crying so much, Angiras is saying to him, keeping this, he said, remember all these things. Then evam rajan, it is like a Gandharva Nagaram. It is Gandharva Nagaram. So he says to him, here, this empire what you are created here is like this, all your wealth, relations, all of them to whom you are holding on to, because that's what our Chitraketu was doing. He was holding on to feeling that. He was saying to Angiras and Narada Maharshi, it was an excuse what he was saying, that when Angiras and Narada Maharshi wanted to instruct him spiritually, Chitraketu is saying, it's not time for me yet. And then he says to him, to whom should I hand over this kingdom? I don't have a child. That was his excuse. Now he got a child. Still he is not willing to leave. Still he is not willing. So they had to get rid of him. The child first. The child has to get rid of him. So this is the, he says to here, whatever you are going on, holding on to here, thinking that this society and your family and your kingdom and all these things, remember this, Satna Maya Manoharadaha. It's just like a magic that is going on here. And magic show is going on, or Indrajalam, that they call it as, Indrajalam. So, just like a magician, he can create this, isn't it? With the, he creates, he always, if you go into big magic shows, they are experts, some of them, in creating, and artificially they will make you experience that. That you are going through some experiences, what you can have. So, in one instance, there was one big magician before. He came to a big town. And this has happened about 50, 60 years ago. And he created in the hall an experience of the war between demigods and the demons. He was able to create that through his magic. He was able to create. When the war started, all the people ran away from there with the fear what has happened in them. And in that process, many of them fell, ran into the street and fell into the ditch and hurt themselves. These things can happen. The power of the magic power show, magic show. So that is what Krishna is also saying here. In the Bhagavatam also, Gandharva Nagara Prakya Prasapna Maya Manoharathaha. Gandharva Nagaram we have created and we think that everything is okay here. That's what it is, isn't it? This, our civilization also is like that. Artificially, something it has created and is convincing us everything is fine here. Nothing is fine here, isn't it? But still we are satisfied with it and never had any further inquiry about anything, feeling that this is how. Gandharva Nagara Prakya Sapna Maya Manoharatha. Krishna is saying like this. So what it is that when you see this, this Gandharva Nagaram, what it does is, it makes you feel that when you look at it, you think everything is real here. Everything is real here. And if you start analyzing it, after a while, you know that everything is going to disappear from your vision. Everything is going to disappear. So many experiences we get in life, isn't it? Different kinds of. when before the experience comes, you will think about it a lot. Will this happen? Will that happen? So many fear, thoughts of fear will come through mind. What will happen if this comes? What will happen if that comes? And afterwards what happened? The experience came. That experience what you thought about or frightened about, it has come in life, isn't it? So, after that, experience has come and gone. The fear also goes away because you have experienced it already, isn't it? So, so, whether it is happiness or distress, or if it is distress, the fear of the distress that's going to come. For example, when you are in different ways that fear comes, is it not? For example, most of the people when the body gives away, that's when the fear develops very strongly. When the body starts giving trouble. Isn't it? So when you start feeling that you can't do it anymore on your own, you become dependent on others. When that stage comes, naturally a fear develops in the body. So, and that means fear about the distress that's going to come. Happiness, we live with expectations. When is it going to come? This is the way life goes on. All the time we are thinking, oh, everything is going to be okay one day. Nothing is going to be okay one day. It's going to be like this only. What is going on now will be after 20 years, after 50 years, it will only get worse. It's going to get better. So what we think is this, that someday it's all going to be okay. Some false thing in our head. That is this Sopna Maya Manoratham. What Krishna is saying here in the Bhagavatam. That when Angiras Maharshi told him, that my dear king, it's not like this, that you are living in some dream world of your own, but Gandharva Nagara Prakhya Sapna Maya Manoratham. It's like a Gandharva Nagaram you have created. That Gandharva Nagaram is this, that you are always thinking that it's going to be happy one day, everything's going to be okay later on. And other side of that is when happiness with expectations you are living, and distress you are living in fear. About the distress, what's going to come. Various distresses, isn't it? Like, just like you can see now, they forecast about this big cyclone. What can the people do? In Andhra and Orissa, I think, the coastal areas, they have said there's a very powerful cyclone is going to hit in a few days or a few hours or something like that. What can you do? So, it is better to recognize that they'll start their relief work and all. How much relief can you give to people? If one person, two person, you can do something about it. But when it comes like this, 5 million people affected by that, what will you do with that? So, Krishna is saying like this, that both are same, both will come. This drama will continue like that and it will disappear. 1999 they had a cyclone. That happened and that is finished, gone. Everybody has forgotten that. And now second one, when it's coming, we are having fear again. Oh, it's going to come again. So life is a joint events of this drama. What's going on from beginning to end. If you start looking back to your own life, you will see what all happened in your childhood, in your teenager's life, in your early married life, and now late in the married life, children has come, they have grown up, and you will move on again to another life. And if you link back into all what has gone through in your life, if you sit and analyze it, you will see what is there in the Gandharva Nagara Prakya Sapna Maya Manoratham. Nothing is there that what you can say that you will relish it very much, because you know that it has come and it has gone. Sukham is like that, Dukham is also like that. It has come, it has gone. So many different distresses come and they were gone, and so many little happiness, whatever you had, that has also come and that has gone. So, knowing this, if you add them up all together, that is life, isn't it? All these experiences, if you add up together, that's your life. So, knowing this, no attachment to anything. That is what Krishna is saying here. Nurmana moha jada sangha dosha. Sangha dosha means if you get attached to anything, what happened in the past, what's happening now, what's going to happen in the future, that means sangha dosha. Nowhere attached to anything, because sangham attachment should be what? Not to all these things what happened in life. Instead, that adhishtanam or basics of everything, that satyavastu, atma, Krishna. That is the only place where there should be attachment. Not to all your experiences in the past, or your present experiences, or your future experiences. Because our attachment is in those things now. Isn't it? when you are in your childhood, your attachment were there with the toys or with the friends playing with them. That was the attachment. Grew up, teenager, it changed a little bit. Got into some other things. Youth, another attachment builds up in different ways. Kama, lust, greed, anger, these things manifest more and becoming more strong, fixed in your identity, in the personality, ego. And then you get married, have children, And then slowly, slowly, the experiences of life start slicing off our ego. We get experience like that, is it not? And then old age comes, and by then you have started looking back into the life and you see where is all that gone, what you had in all your life. You say that you had this experience, that. What does it mean? It means nothing. All the happiness, all the distress, if you add up together, that's all what was happening, life. But Krishna is saying here, adhyalpa nitya vinivrutta kamaha. That means, adhyalpam only is the truth in all these things. Everything else what you have so-called experience you are saying in your life, all that is Gandharva Nagara Prakya Sopna Maya Manoratham. All that has no basis. It has no meaning. So, adhyatma nitya, adhyatma yogam means, what is adhyatma yogam? Adhyatma yogam means that as much as we withdraw from this Gandharva Nagaram, Sopna Maya Manoratham, and goes towards the soul, attention falls on the soul. Behir vritti ya tadaha pradinivarti almahi samadhanam adhyatma yogaha. In other words, this mind which is wandering around in this world in various things, objects and other activities, and that mind, if you are able to pull back from the world outside, including the body, and able to turn its attention towards that satya vastu inside atma, that is adhyatma. Mind itself is nothing but chittavritti, isn't it? Mind means chittavritti, thought waves. And all these thought waves, what is building us inside, there is one thought wave which is the root of all this. And that thought wave is that is me, my ahangaram, isn't it? Because if I don't have that false ego, ahangaram in me, other thought waves cannot develop. Because of ahangaram only, other thought waves builds up inside. So when you inquire where this ahangaram has come out, where did they take birth, you can see that the same ahangaram is coming from the same place where our swarupam takes birth. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam and this ahankaram both comes from the same location. Hrit, what Krishna calls it as? Hrit. That's where aham comes, ahankaram comes, aham bodham and ahankaram both comes from the same location. When we are in the completely under the grip of ahankaram, then we are in this Sopna Maya Manoratham. When you are in the aham bodham state, when the consciousness state, at that time Krishna is saying here, ahankaram, when it comes, goes away, at the same place, if you inquire, Krishna says, that nitya shuddha buddha mukta swarupam, which is anandam or happiness or shanti or astitvam, awareness, satta chitta anandam, that anubhuti mandalam, that experience will wake up there. It will start manifesting from that same spot. And that will come and it will completely dissolve this mind which is inside. And what they use the word is Swalma Tirtha Snanam. Swalma Tirtha Snapanam or Snanam, they call it. That means self-inquiry means that going inwards and recognizing this. First you have to come out of this ahankaram inside. Ahankaram is the one which is doing everything in our daily life. Ahankaram is the one creates kartrutva, bhurtrutvam, raga, dvesham. Everything is because of ahankaram. So when ahankaram, through self-inquiry, when it gets, there's two ways only you can do that, either through jnanam or through bhakti. Through jnanam, through the self-inquiry process, through bhakti means through surrender, ahankaram will go. But surrender has to be very, either way it is difficult. It's not going to be easy. So, Krishna says here, that Swatma Tirtha Snavanam, in other words, go to that place, inquiry where it's coming from, and inquire that way, let the ahankaram die on its own. Ahankaram will die on its own. And then, just like the river goes and dissolves in the ocean, similarly the mind will go and dissolves in the self. At that time, and again this anushtanam again and again. And particularly in situations in life when you are affected very strongly with powerful emotions, it is at that time this will be much more effective. Because just like anger comes, greed comes, or envy comes, or lust comes, any powerful emotions when it comes, if you apply this principle into it, it will have a tremendous effect. At that time you can see, normally you can see this inquiry of the self is a long process by practice. Whether it is bhakti or jnanam, you got to practice it. Either way it's not going to happen. In jnana margam, bhakti margam, you have to continuously surrender to Krishna all the time. Saying that Krishna is doing everything, I am helpless about it. And able to accept it without any complaint. Because if you are complaining, that means there is no bhakti, there is no surrender. So that is bhakti process. Totally surrendered state to live in this world. If a problem comes, you cannot complain then. That is bhakti. Then able to accept everything, whatever Krishna throws at you, you have to take it. There is no complaint about it. That's bhakti. Jnana margam is this, inquiring about where, who is experiencing this anger, who is experiencing this lust, who is experiencing the greed, envy, pride, whatever it may be. If you ask that question, you will see that it is that false entity inside, ahankaram, who is having it. And as soon as you, because you know that it is a false one, that emotions associated with that ahankaram also will disappear. That is the way it works. No answer will come from anywhere inside. But because you know ahankaram or the personality is a false thing, it's not a real one. Somehow due to our sangha dosham, this ahankaram has built up inside. And that ahankaram has to go from inside. And the way to happen that is that when you are in a situations like that, like anger, like greed, like lust, whatever the powerful emotions that is affecting us, if you are able to pull back and ask this question, who is experiencing this, then no answer will come from inside, but you will notice that that very emotion will disappear, will dissolve itself. That way you won't do any damage to yourself. Normally you have only two options, either you have to express your anger or you have to suppress your anger, isn't it? If you express it, it is hurts others. If you suppress it, you are killing yourself. Both are equally bad, isn't it? Sometimes when the bosses get angry with you, or sometimes you, people will annoy you so many ways. But even at that time, suddenly if you are not able to do it, at least as soon as possible, you must have that presence of mind to do it. That as soon as the anger leaves, because anger also won't stay permanently, that's one good thing about it. It will stay for some time, afterwards it will go. But when you come out of that angry mode, you should immediately think like this, that otherwise it will develop into hate. Anger will turn into hate towards the other person, which is not going to solve the problem, because that is going to generate more bodies later to find out that. So this is the way Swabhavam happens in us. So Krishna, Swatmadurta Savanam, he says here, so, constantly holding on to Swarupam, in other words, not to get pulled by Swabhavam. Swabhavam is our nature. That is different. Everybody is different in this world, with Swabhavam is concerned, isn't it? So, this experience, this effort to try to identify with the Swarupam rather than with Swabhavam, that is Adhyatma Vidya, what Krishna is saying there. Adhyatma Vidya Vinivrtta Kamaha. Krishna saying, if you do that, this is Adhyatma Vidya. What is Adhyatma Vidya? Adhyatma Vidya is this, that how to remain in the Swarupam, not in the Swabhavam. Swabhavam is what we are used to. But always to pull back from the Swabhavam to the Swarupam. To pull back from Swabhavam to Swarupam. That is Adhyatma Vidya. Because we are Swarupam, we are not Swabhavam. Swabhavam and in Swarupam, we are all same. Nobody is different. All living entities are the same Swarupam. It is in the Swabhavam we have the difference. If this is not possible, the next option is continuously Sharanagati. Surrendering to Krishna who is inside us, Antaryami. Tameva Sharanam Gacha. So this is the only two options in the Bhagavad Gita. Either Jnana Margam or Bhakti Margam. Or Jnana Margam or Bhakti Margam. So, because one who is surrendering, what is the speciality there is, he doesn't have a personality anymore. Once you have surrendered, what have you surrendered actually? You have surrendered your ego, isn't it? Ego is a personality who is saying, I am. You can't keep a personality and then surrender to somebody. That's not possible. Personality must go. So, this is what they call it as anusandhanam, and that is that Adhyatma Yogam, Krishna is saying there. Nirmana Moha Jitasanga Dosha Adhyatma Nitya Vinivrtta Kama Dundvair Vimukta Sukadukka Sapnya Gachandya Moda Padam Avyayam Tat. Krishna says. That is a very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying that state what you will be at that time when you have realized the truth. When you have realized the truth. This is why, because Krishna is speaking openly things very straight about it, therefore you can understand from this, this is not a subject for academic study or a course or a seminar. It won't have its effect. You just have to take the verse on board and make it happen inside you. There's nothing, nobody else can do anything for you. You may write, if you sit for examinations and write all your thesis on all these topics, some people do all that, and you get your doctorate or whatever it is, but if it has not happened to you, your doctorate is all useless. You may study whole Bhagavad Gita, but if this situation has not happened in us, it has to happen here, right here in us, then you can say you have got it. You got Bhagavad Gita. That's what Krishna is saying there. So, Adhyatma Nitya Vinivrta Kamaha. So, every moment, whether to Jnana Margam or Bhakti Margam, if you destroy that Ahangaram inside, either way you can do that, then what will happen is that Satya Vastu, because Ahangaram is the false thing, the false Vastu will go, the Satya Vastu, the true Vastu will come inside. True Vastu will come inside. So, and that is why many big people, you can see Kabir and all that, he mentions this, Tutu karta, tutu mujhme na tu, that you are everything, not me. They keep saying this. Everybody, all the great souls who have realized the truth, they will say this, like this. I'm not doing anything, you are doing everything. They come to that conclusions later, isn't it? So, Kabir used to say, everything is Ramachandra. That was Kabir's realization, isn't it? So, Adhyatma Nityaha, this is the sadhana. So, that is why, here you can see, this sadhana is nothing but you are inquiring about the sadhaka, who is performing the sadhana. That's this sadhana. This sadhana is, you are inquiring after the person who is performing the sadhana. The person who is performing the sadhana is sadhaka. So this sadhana is inquiring about the sadhaka. Who is the sadhaka and what is the sadhana? Sadhana is this, that inquiring after sadhaka is the sadhana. Is the sadhana. What is the dhyana meditation? Meditation is this, who is meditating? The person who is meditating, isn't it? So, samsaram or material existence is this bondage. This bondage. That means that this false identity that I am doing, this has to disappear from inside. So, as soon as you break that connection, then you are liberated. As soon as you start thinking you are doing, you are in bondage again. You are in bondage again. So you remember Krishna mentions Bandho Mukti Idivyakyo Gunadomena Vastuda Gunasya Maya Mulatwal Name Mokshona Bandhanam Egadishaskandam. Krishna is saying that reality, moksham and bandham is all based on this, on your Ahangaram inside. If Ahangaram is not there, moksham. If Ahangaram is there, bandham, bondage. Isn't it? So that is why Krishna says Adhyatma Nityaha. Isn't it? See that word? Adhyatma Nityaha. Nitya means all the time you have to do this. This surrender business. Surrendering Sharanagati through Bhakti process or inquiry through the Jnana process. Nityaha. Always. Not for, nowadays it's for us about a couple of hours in the morning, rest of the time. Oh, I've done my sadhana, we say. We tell the, declare the world, I've done my sadhana, I've chanted my rounds. So I've done, and the rest of the time I'm doing what I like. That's no good. Adhyatma Nityaha, Krishna is saying, it has to be all the time. Adhyatma Nityaha, Vinivrta Kamaha, he says. So, so if you remember this, then it is mukti, liberation. If you forget it, if your attention is there, then there is mukti. That means if Sharanagati is there is mukti. If this inquiry is going on, then there is mukti. If you forget it, it's bondage. That's all it is. Simple as that. So nityaha. So, adhyatma vidyaha. So, if this taste develops for this surrender, that means bhakti or sharanagati, or if this taste develops for inquiry, self-inquiry, Krishna is saying here, then you won't need anything, you won't go after anything else in this world. You'll go inquiring anything in this world. Krishna says, they give the example like this, there is a good feast at home with everything, halwa, sweet rice, puris, everything, whatever you want, and then you don't go outside begging for food, would you? The same thing, Krishna says. Till you get this feast inside, you will continuously remain as a beggar in this world. This is the way Krishna sees spiritual life. That's why that verse, Dhammana Moha, Jidasanga Dosha, Adhyatma Nitya, each word is very significant. Minivrutta Kamaha. If all these things happen, then what will happen is Dvandvaira Vimuktam. You will get free from the dualities. Dvandva. What is dvandva? Dvandva means this is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong. Everything is dvandva here, isn't it? As soon as you see something, you will have an impression about that inside. About a person, for example, or about an object. You have some impression about it. It's good or it's bad, or it's right or it's wrong. Actions also, karmam also, you will say like this, this is right, this is wrong. And about person, you will praise, somebody you will criticize. This is all dvandvam it is going through. Krishna says, dvandvaira vimuktaha. You will get released from that dvandvam. Vinivrutta kamaha. All desires also comes to an end. No more desire after that. Vinivrutta kamaha. Gacchandi amuda padam aveyam tad. He's already in that state. He has already reached there, Krishna says. So this verse is a very important verse because of its the way it's structured. Krishna is talking about it, which we'll continue discussing again tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.